two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out, throw!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, John Romano. John, we're in the month of June now. We officially, I guess I always call June the official start of summer. And as my dad would say, there's a storm a-brewing out here.
I think he means literally.
Yeah, he called me in a panic before. There's a storm brewing. You know, after we do this show every day, every Sunday, I always take him out to dinner, as you know. And he's panicking because he doesn't want me driving in the storm.
To deliver his pens.
Well, yeah, the pilot point pens that I had to get from, that he's been torturing me for about the last 3 weeks. I've actually had him for a week and a half, and I didn't bring him over. So he needs his pens. He's like, Rain Man, I definitely need my pens. And he needs his chocolate isolized, because, you know, you told me about how your father has been reborn, so yes, to speak, since he's been using isolized.
Absolutely reborn. It's a remarkable recovery he's made.
I told my dad about that, so now he's obsessed with using it as well. Oh. So,
you know what? If he does, and he uses it regularly, I bet you anything he'll notice a difference.
Of course he will, because he was just like your dad. He was malnourished.
Yeah.
And I think that's why his brain's not working that well either, because he's not eating enough protein.
You gotta have protein. I mean, God, it's just so basic, you know. And when we see people that, you know, it's just so logical to us. You know, I could look at my dad and say, Dad, you know, you're not eating any protein, you know.
Because it doesn't make sense that my dad started mentally deteriorating like over the course of 6 months, and that's the thing I noticed most. And you know what? When you're taking pain, you know, he's on chronic pain medication because of his arthritis. And when you take a lot of pain medication, you don't eat. You know that.
Right, of course.
So I think that, you know, if he can drink these shakes, he'll be a lot better.
He'd be great, yeah, for sure.
Well, June is a very busy month, John. As you know, we just had the NPC Atlantic States take place this past weekend. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The Junior Nationals are in 2 weeks in Chicago. That's on the June 19th weekend. Mm-hmm. Team Universe is 5 weeks from today. That's in the first weekend in July. You got the PBW Tampa Pro Show, which is the next pro show that'll be coming up. That's in 6 weeks. Then you got the Masters Teen Collegiate Nationals in 7 weeks from today. And then in 8 weeks, you got the USA. So we're in the brunt of a contest season that, like, you've never seen in the past.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows, man. More so than ever this year. It's great to see.
I'm excited. At the same time, I'm excited, I'm also like dreading, you know, having to go to a lot of traveling. But you know what? This is the best time of year. It's always nice to travel in the summer and get to see all the same faces we see every year. Kind of like it's like a reunion of sorts, almost
like a big party every weekend.
Yeah, you know, and by and far, everyone in the industry kind of gets along with each other. By and far,
right.
As I say,
with the exception of
the other Long Island based periodical that that's situated out here.
Yes,
but on a good note, this past weekend was the Steve Weinberg's NPC Atlantic States, and it was record numbers. We had almost 200 competitors in the show, and with crossovers, I think he had like 300 entries.
Holy crap.
The place was sold out, so there was not a seat left. Jake Cutler guest posed with Branch Warren, and then Victor Martinez jumped up on stage. So, I mean, you had a star-studded event. I mean, it couldn't get much better than that. Steve really makes this Atlantic States almost like the showcase of the entire contest season.
Now, I saw Victor today, and I was really impressed with how he looked. Well, what did you think?
His upper body's unbelievable. Now, he didn't take his pants off. He kind of ran out there while Jay was guest posing, and he kind of like poked some fun at him, and he's like, look, he goes, I heard Jay being called the three-time Mr. Olympia, but I don't believe that, you know, because I remember he got ripped off that 1 year.
Exactly.
So then he took his shirt off and he started posing down with Jay. You know what? Size-wise, upper body-wise, Victor is just as big as Jay.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him today. He was a monster.
I don't know how his leg looks. I'm assuming it's better than it was last year. And I think the fact that he waited this whole contest season to compete at the Olympia is going to be a good move strategically on his part. Branch Warren looked like a little tanker, too. But you know what? Next to those guys, you know, it's like apples and oranges, as Ronnie would say.
Yeah. What did you think of him compared to, if you compared Branch to Branch last year, do you think he's right on track?
Yeah. But he's actually pretty lean for himself right now. He said he's going to die. I was talking to him a little bit. He said he's starting his diet in 2 weeks. I guess he's been traveling like 11 weekends in a row, you know, doing guest posings. And he was in Europe for a while for 2.5 weeks. And he's making money. I told him, I said, good for you, man. Bank that money. I said, it doesn't, you know, you can't make it for that many years. And he said he's not going to be doing much traveling after, I guess, he starts his contest diet. And he's really going to focus on the Olympia, which is, I think, a good move on his part. I mean, he was second last year. If he could, you know, he's only one more spot away from, you know what? Branch Warren winning the Mr. Olympia would be like the greatest story of all time. Would be better than even Dexter winning it, because this guy has been counted out more times than any competitor I know. Everyone always admitted that Dexter had great genetics and that Dexter's physique is pretty and symmetrical. You know, people didn't think he would be big enough to win the Olympia, but no one ever questioned his genetic abilities.
Right.
Branch just, you know, people always talked about him being a mass monster and having freaky stuff, body parts, but I don't think anyone ever would think that he could have come in second place at the Mr. Olympia contest.
I agree. And you know, the thing with Branch is that, you know, and Charles Glasser, you know, and I had this conversation at the last Olympia, he improves what's wrong. He fixes what's wrong. So for a guy who might be potentially genetically limited, he does make improvements. And I've been really impressed with this guy since I first saw him way, way back when. I think he started as a middleweight or a light heavyweight.
Well, he won the Nationals at light heavyweight.
Right, light heavy.
And he was like all legs, basically.
Yes.
And the guy just put on massive amounts of size. And don't forget, this is a guy who's had a lot of injuries. He tore both biceps.
Tricep.
He tore a tricep, I think.
Falling down the stairs last year, right?
Yes. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't had I think the reason why he made such good progress, you know, over this past year is because he finally had an injury-free season.
Yeah. And he's had to forcibly had to take some time off. So he's recovered the rest of himself.
So, look, you know, if guys don't come in shape, they come in a little off. Guys like Branch Warren, Dexter Jackson, they sneak into the holes and they fill in the gaps there. And you know what? If Jay's not 100%, Branch could win the Olympia. Who the hell knows? You know, the craziest things have happened.
Yeah, they have. You never know.
I mean, I can't imagine that Kai and Jay would come in off, you know, because I think they have to be the two favorites at this point in time. But if they did, who's next?
There's Victor, there's Heath, there's...
But who's the highest placing guy next? Branch Warren.
Branch Warren, yeah. You know, that top, the top five guys in the world right now, those top five slots are so close that, you know, one guy coming in, you know, a couple of percent off is going to upset the whole apple cart.
I mean, look at Branch came in a little off at the Arnold and then Phil Heath beat him. So it's really, you know, it comes down to timing. You know, you could be the greatest contest, you know, prep coach of all time. You could be the most conscientious bodybuilder of all time, and things go wrong, you know? Timing, you mistime things, it just happens because the body is not a mechanical, you know, object. It's not a robot. So other factors come into play. Stress, you can get sick, you can eat something, you get food poisoning. We know a lot of guys who get food poisoning, right?
Yeah, routinely and on cue.
Right. So, I mean, things happen, and we'll have to see. The Olympia is going to be exciting with 20 weeks to go. I can't believe it's almost around the corner.
Yep, it's going to be soon. It's going to come up really quick, too.
Ben White was hanging out at the show. I saw him. He's looking very large and in charge. Obviously, we're prepping him. I'm prepping him for that PBW Tampa show in 6 weeks. And he looks like he's going to do some damage, John. He's still he's just a little under 260.
Wow.
Which is probably like 20 pounds heavier than last year. And the guy is looking very, very freaky. I think I predict him to really upset this whole, I guess, predictions thing they're doing. You know, everyone's predicting they got Brandon Curry coming into his first pro show. I think Zach Kahn might be competing. And they're talking about all these new guys. And I think Ben White might come in and surprise people. This is the first year he ever trained heavy through his contest prep.
Yeah.
Most of the times he does these pump-up workouts and he loses all his muscles.
You know? He's been powerlifting. He's been competing in powerlifting meets all along.
I know, which is the best thing. I told him, keep doing it.
Yeah, it seems to work for him. He is an absolute freak.
Most people would say, don't lift heavy. You know, you might hurt yourself. But this is a guy who, you know, you want to keep in the gym lifting heavy because otherwise, you know, he gets lazy.
And he gets small. He loses muscle.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I predict that.
I agree.
Now, also, Jim Mannion, the NPC president, was there head judging the show this past weekend. So it was good to see him. He's always in good form. Charlie Arms was there, too. as a celebrity judge. Uh-huh. You know, he likes to judge the New York shows. Steve Weinberger brings him in. Charlie shaved his head, and I don't know if you have you seen him with a shave?
Yeah, I saw him at the New York Pro. I was sitting in the front row there where he was judging the New York Pro. It's hard to look at any other part of him except his arm. They're so gigantic. And what is he, 60-something?
65-something
years young?
His arms actually look bigger now that he has no hair on his head.
His arms look bigger now than ever. They must be 25 inches. They're huge.
They're definitely 21 inches. And they're,
at least.
And, you know, this is a guy who's had a legitimate 20-plus inch arm for the last, you know, 50 years. So
you know how he got his nickname, Charlie Arms?
Because he crank starts those
Harley with his hand.
Yeah. Charlie's looking as good as ever, so yeah. I was happy to see him. And the show was good. Sean Harris, who works out at Bev's, you've seen him every all the time.
Yeah.
He won the overall. He's prepping for the USA. He had to requalify, so he kind of was a little, I guess some of these guys who competed against him kind of fell into a bad thing. You know, sometimes you see these guys, they have to come back and requalify. He doesn't really belong in the show.
Right, right.
But, you know, look, he did his homework. He came in and he won.
Now, did Maurice Guida, he came back from his injury.
Maurice Guida, I helped him out. He brought his best form to date. He won the super heavyweight class.
Good for him.
Looked great. You know, this guy brings his legs up a little bit, and we've got him up a little bit this past year, but if he brings him up over next year, when he hits 40 over this next offseason, he's going to do some damage at that Masters Nationals.
Yeah, I bet. You know, and it wasn't that long ago he competed in Bros versus Pros and nearly tore his pec.
Yeah, yeah, and he did tear his pec.
He partially tore his pec. And to come back and, you know, win his super heavyweight class is, I think that's great. I'm so glad that he didn't get permanently injured.
No, yeah, me too. Yeah. You know what it is? He stopped. Remember when he hurt himself?
Yes.
He felt a tweak and he just stopped. That was the smartest thing he ever did. Some guys would have pushed through it and torn the pec off the muscle.
Sure.
So,
smart guy.
Yeah. No, we all love Maurice. He's a great guy.
Great guy.
In the women's event, Maria Rita Penteada won again. Now, this is the Brazilian girl. You've met her. Remember we went out to the club with her one time? She's dating my friend Justin Miller.
Yes, absolutely.
She has won, I think, 5 or 6 shows in a row. She never competed until she came to the United States. She was working as an au pair, and she decided to do her first bodybuilding show. Now, obviously, she's not a citizen, so she can only do these regional shows.
Right.
She won every single show she's done.
No
she's
kidding.
Never lost. Yeah, and she's won the overall also at all of them.
Wow.
So she added another notch in her belt, so to speak, and she looked great. And all these, by the way, the interviews with the winners are up on rxmuscle.com, so anyone can check those out, as well as the guest posing highlights.
Awesome.
I did a little highlight reel of the Cutler Warren Martinez pose down, and that's up on rxmuscle.com as well.
Thank God a promoter like Steve Weinberger sees the value in allowing us to do that. I wish all promoters would
see
the light.
It's just news highlights. People want to see what's going on. When they don't live in New York and they live in Alaska, and they want to see what happened here in New York, and they can.
There's no chance of them buying a ticket.
No. First of all, you know what? There were no tickets to be sold. Steve was turning people away at the door because the place was sold out. And that's a good problem to have, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Now the figure overall was won by Dana Falicara, and the bikini overall was won by Diana Fields, who actually demonstrated her whole little bikini. See, the bikini girls now talk about their routines. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, they have a 6-step walk.
They have a whole route. They prepare routines like bodybuilders prepare bodybuilding routines.
Yeah, but they're walking back and forth is all they're doing.
Well,
with flair.
Yeah, they're kind of swiveling the hips a little bit. They got a whole, it's choreographed. It's not just like, I'm going to go out there and shake my booty. You know, they got a whole, every move of the arm, every twist of the butt is actually a choreographed routine. They actually hire people to do these routines.
Yeah, the New York Pro, I saw one girl do a, what is it, 4 or 5 steps back and then 4 or 5 steps forward?
Well, they make them do that now. They walk them to the curtain and back.
Yeah, walk to the curtain and back.
But when they actually walk out to do their initial, you know how the figure girls do 4 quarter turns? They actually walk out and do a whole little routine, though.
It's just walking out.
No, you haven't watched them good enough. They're late. They've evolved, John. What they do is they walk out.
It looks like a routine.
They shake their waist. They move their hands a little bit. They spin around a little bit. They look back. They go spread their legs and sit. And the suit gets thonged up their butt. You know, it's a whole. There's a whole science to it now, John.
Yeah.
You can't just dismiss it as a walkout anymore.
I wouldn't disparage the entire scientific community. community by associating what they do with science.
Diana Field said to me, my posing routine. She actually used those terms. And I said, what are you talking about? You're not a bodybuilder.
Posing routine.
She meant her routine. It's
gotten worse on Facebook, I have to tell you. I don't know if you don't follow it as much as I do. But, you know, on my homepage on the Newswire,
right.
I have so many of these bikini girls on there and figure girls also talking about, it's almost like a Twitter entry, and it's the most annoying, obnoxious thing to hear that someone has got, one more meal and one more bout, one more hour of cardio before bed. And you know, who, first of all, who gives a shit? Second of all, if you're going to be a bikini competitor,
right.
You know, just look at who's winning these things. It's not, we're talking about a approach to bikini competitions on par with bodybuilding.
Right.
Hired trainers, nutritionists,
right.
The routine, like you said, the routine, choreographed, the whole thing. And it's bad enough that they think they have to go through that, but I don't want to read on Facebook that they're eating lettuce and chopped meat now and off to bed. It's so annoying.
They like to update each other on what they're doing.
It has got to be the most annoying thing.
They're bored. They like to do it. Well, you know what? In that light, you know, because the figure bikini and fitness realm has become so popular, and it's probably 75% of all these shows, John, you know, we sat down and we brainstormed a little bit and we came up with RX Girl. We have the new part of our site now that's called RX Girl. You can click on it on the toolbar from rxmuscle.com. And it's a new part of the site that's going to be exclusively devoted to bikini, figure, and fitness.
Yeah.
You know, Shannon Day and her team Bombshell, one of the sponsors of this part of the site. We're going to have some great content coming up. So the girls should check in at least once a day, because we're going to have new content up starting probably this coming week. And I just want to thank Big Sean Andros, put this together with Sally Taylor.
It looks incredible.
And Chris Zimmerman gave us some great graphics to put on here. So I'm excited about the whole thing.
It looks incredible. The colors are great. It looks definitely more femme.
Yeah.
And I love the layout. I love the way it looks. If everything pops off there, I think it's going to be a hugely popular segment of our site, because you know, female competitors in figure, fitness, and bikini way outnumber bodybuilding.
Yep. Well, without a doubt. And look, these girls don't have a destination place to go to, and now they do, and I think that's real important. And we also redesigned the Muscle Girls Inc. Radio page is also spruced up, and Sonia Gonzalez is going to be taking over Jenny Lynn's spot. So
oh, really?
That's going to be Adela and Sonia, who are really good friends.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I always think that sometimes it's best when you have co-hosts that are friendly like you and I, because we kind of know each other. They talk to each other 60 times a day like we do, and I suspect we're gonna get some good chemistry between them. Actually, the last show, I don't know if you've listened to it, with Tracy Greenwood, was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
I was actually laughing my ass off, and that's the first show they really nailed 100%.
I like Tracy.
Yeah, well, Tracy, actually, he said to me, you should have gotten me to help co-host. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, no one would have wanted to go on the show.
No, you would have killed him.
She's
like one of the guys. She's brutal.
I told her they should get her on like for 10 minutes every show, just to do like an update, because she's at every show like we are every
right,
week.
Right, right, she is.
And she'd be hysterical.
Well, she's expediting. She's working.
She expedites. She does sometimes MCs them. So, you know, she's around it every day. So I think it would be a good idea to get her on there. So
we'll
see.
I definitely agree.
See if they listen to me. Take my thing at face value, what I told them, or at least my advice. Now, the girl cuts my hair, Denise, down the block from here. I was getting my hair cut the other day, and she said that that you were at the Little League game with your new lady friend.
Yeah.
And I heard you was a little affectionate goings on in the stands.
I'm pretty sure I know the day this was, and it was like it was extremely cold, and we were underdressed, and we were huddling together to preserve body heat. But let me guess. Let me try to describe this woman. I've never met her, so let me try to describe her.
You're probably going to describe all the women there.
No, I'm probably going to describe her, who would make note of me and my hot girlfriend being close.
She said your hot 24-year-old girlfriend. She's
older than 24.
Yeah.
Okay, but Let me try to describe her. Now, I've never met her. I've never seen her. I don't know this woman. So let me try to describe her. She's a 40-ish-year-old single mom who is out of shape and bitter about the fact that her ex-husband ran off with a younger woman.
close. Yeah, but close.
I knew it.
Yeah, definitely. But that probably fits the prototype of a protocol of almost every woman in there.
Any woman who would be bothered by the fact that I'm sitting in the stands with my hot young girlfriend, you know, being, you know, affectionate.
Right.
Exactly. And what? Because that's at a little league game that we should stand. So what's the 6 foot rule applies?
Of course. Don't you know that? Yeah. Come on, man.
No, I don't.
So you were spotted. You were spotted at the.
Good. I hope more people see us because then they can all eat their hearts out. Because my girl's hot.
You know, you're the talk of the town. Just to let you know, you know.
Good. She also complained about my Porsche going by her house because the exhaust is loud. And
she said, yeah, and you're late to school, but she said you are a good father.
And I'm late to school, and I'm a good father. She, yes. Even in spite of the fact that she won't let her son, who's older than my son, play the video games.
No, he's not allowed to play Halo. No.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's not good for his developmental well-being.
Yeah.
She's an Italian. She's an overbearing Italian.
Overbearing Italian. I should have added that to my description. Overbearing.
She gives a good freaking haircut, though, let me tell you.
As long as you're getting something good out of it, right. Dave, I'm all for it.
And it's right down the block. What can I do? Now, my father, you know, I mentioned my father in the beginning about being a little paranoid about getting his pens on time today. But he called me up the other day, and he said, you know, my father likes to order clothing through these catalogs. Yeah. I don't know why.
Because it's cheaper.
Is it? Because I think it's just he's too lazy to go to the store.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, you know, it's you know what? Shopping online is so convenient. I can totally see his point. How's he going to get to the store?
But he doesn't go online because he can't use a computer. But so he gets those catalogs.
Oh, he gets the catalogs.
Catalogs, right.
Oh, my God, the catalogs.
So he ordered this very expensive shirt, he told me. Who knows what he defines as very expensive, you know? Very expensive shirt.
For an event? Is this the wedding? Is this the wedding? The false teeth wedding?
I don't know what it was for. He likes to buy, you know, my father likes to dress up, so he likes to buy nice clothes.
Well, he's a very dapper man.
Yeah, well, yeah, he actually has good taste in clothing, I have to admit.
He does.
He could go to like a thrift shop and come out with a good outfit.
Right.
You know, he knows good clothing. And he's always dressed well his whole life. And, you know, I guess he wanted to buy this shirt. So he said the shirt came. And, you know, my father sits outside a lot of times and writes and in the sun, you know, it makes him feel good. I guess his joints feel good. And he can't find the box. Okay.
Vitamin
now, he's been losing, you know, things.
Yes.
He lost rings and remote controls.
Right.
And he keeps, I know the whole drill already. I'm like, Dad, you'll find it tomorrow. Just, you know what? Stop driving yourself crazy. It's not worth making yourself nuts and getting all anxiety ridden about it. Let's just leave it. And then it'll probably come to you tomorrow where you put it. He calls me up about 4 hours later. I figured out what happened. What happened, Dad?
What happened?
Turns out he ordered socks, too, when he ordered the shirt. And I guess
forgot?
They sent the socks. So when he opened the box up, he thought the shirt was in there, but there was socks in there. So he took the socks out, put them in his drawer, and threw out the box because it was that. But he didn't realize that the shirt never arrived yet. So basically, my dad is losing his mind.
So he lost the shirt that didn't arrive.
Right. The reason he couldn't find the shirt is because it never got there yet.
Oh, man. I feel terrible.
I feel bad for him, too. But I think it's because he's not eating enough protein. I'm convinced of it.
I am, too. Your brain needs protein.
Yeah. Now, I know you're into cars, John, and I was telling you a little bit about Steve DeLuca, who I met at the show. I haven't seen in a long time, and he had his a Porsche GT2 turbocharged up to 750 horsepower. Now, if that's not good enough, I went to Lulu's clothing store around the corner, you know, to get some new shirts. I figured I had to up the style a little bit for the summer, and the guy who owns the store has a brand new Aston Martin DBS.
Oof.
Carbon fiber body, V12 engine, black, all black with the red flaking in it. The whole interior is Alcantara. I mean, beautiful. You know, really crazy stuff. I mean, he let me drive the car. Okay, the thing is crazy and fast, and I have a fast car. This thing is like insane. It sounds like a Formula One race car.
Wow.
You know what? Getting out of the car, it feels like you just had sex. You know that like feeling? You're like, was this just sex or what? I'm not really sure what happened just now, but I feel like
was this just sex or a car?
Right. And for $300,000, it better feel like sex.
I'd rather have sex, but you know, it's very. you know, because it's very involving, you know, with your the senses is why, you know, you're very stimulated, you know, or, you know, from your the sound of it, the feel of it, the touch of it, the, you know, the sensation, the adrenaline. I mean, there's so many, and it's probably very similar to, you know, to sex, the involvement of all those sensory experiences.
But like a woman, John, it's only good when you only, like, if I owned the car, probably wouldn't be such an experience anymore. It was the idea that I didn't have the car and I drove it. It was like meeting a girl in a club for the first time, you know, and hanging out and getting laid on the first date, so to speak.
Ew.
Ew. What are you? he's being a good guy because his girlfriend's sitting right next to him. But you know what I'm saying? So I have an idea. Wouldn't you think it would be a smart idea if one of these, like, very wealthy or exotic car dealerships would have a deal where you can kind of trade your car in every week and get a new car?
Well, they have something like
that. Do they really?
Well, what they have is these. You can join them. You see them advertised in, like, Rob Report or the DuPont Registry,
right,
where you can join it's a consortium, basically, mm-hmm. and there's six or eight exotic cars in the stable,
right,
and you reserve them for a specific period of time, you know, weekends, you know, throughout the year, and you can drive for whatever fee it costs you. You have access to all of these different cars.
Forget that. I'm talking about a lease program where every week you get a new car. A different car.
It's the same thing. You don't know. It's every weekend you get it to drive a different car.
Forget the weekend. I'm talking about
the whole week?
The whole week. You get one week you get a Ferrari, one week you get a Murcielago, one week you get an Aston Martin, the next week you get a Mercedes, the next week you get a BMW. Maybe they throw a Honda in there for just to keep you on your feet to appreciate what you got. But every week you get a different car.
All right.
A Bentley one week.
That's cool.
Right?
It might be a good business model. I'll up that. You know what we should do?
What?
Add that to, imagine a big piece of land,
right,
you know, in a nice area where it's warm all year long, so you can use it all year long, like Florida, right, or, you know, somewhere down south. And you build a really cool racetrack on this nice piece of land, and then you put condos all around it.
Mm-hmm.
And each condo has a garage,
right,
and in each garage you can have any number of exotic car that you rotate on a lease basis, like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a constructor if you need one, and you can track the car, and you can really use the car for what it was intended to be used for in a safe environment. And, you know, if you love cars that much, you live right on the racetrack.
Okay, well, that's a good idea, but, you know, not many women would go for that, my possibly.
You would be surprised. I went to a D&E event last year with my car, and I would say about half of the people that were there with their own Porsches were women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, that's not a bad day. A little more complicated. I'm just talking, you pull up to the dealership with your car on Monday, you get a new one, and then the next Monday you bring the car back, you get another one.
You know, if the leasing companies could figure out the diminution of value over the course of a month and do that, I bet you that would fly.
It would be an expensive type of thing.
It would be very expensive.
For the very wealthy would do something like this.
But it would be cool as hell.
Yeah, I think so. I get to drive this great $300,000 Aston Martin. I'm completely spoiled now, you know. I'm like, wanted to take this thing home. And so I go into the store and I'm like, I'm going to buy a couple items. I wind up spending $600 in the store. $600. So see what he got? He let me drive the fucking car and I spent $600.
I got a quarter of his lease payment.
And I didn't even get laid after all this was said and done.
Yeah, you will. So, it's a matter of time.
Yeah, but the funny thing, you know what? He's got a good gig in there, right?
Yeah, he does.
I said, can you bring the Murcielago next time I come in? He said, just give me a call ahead of time.
And you'll drop another $600.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm the kind of guy who spends $600 every like 5 years on clothes.
No, you're not.
I don't spend a lot
of money
on clothes.
You've been buying clothes lately.
Well, that's because I can fit into them now. I'm amazed, you know. I never was able to do that for the last 10 years, 15 years. But have you ever gone for a pedicure?
Yes.
Okay.
I made it through about 8 seconds of it and was tickled to death, and I couldn't finish it.
Really? You couldn't finish the pedicure?
It was tickling, so I was out of my mind. She couldn't touch my foot.
Wow. So you don't like when people touch your feet?
No. Or my calves.
Wow. That's amazing. What about your girls? You won't let her touch it?
Actually, she's the only one that's been able to touch my calves.
What about your feet?
No.
Really? See, that ticklish?
I am so ticklish when you cannot touch my feet.
Going for a pedicure is another experience like having sex. I mean, you know what? You got to be a pretty confident guy in yourself to walk into a salon, a little Asian salon where you have all these little women whispering, and then you have all these yentas from Long Island getting their fucking toes painted and their nails painted. But you know, I used to do it when I used to compete, because you know you want your feet to look good.
Arnold gets his feet done every week,
does he? Yep. So I said, I'm going to go in and treat myself. I hadn't done it in a long time, and so I walked into the salon I hadn't been in 10 years. They remembered me, because how many guys
go in you?
Right. So I go in and I'm getting the pedicure done. Now I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to be one confident motherfucker to come in here with all these women here. And they love it. You know, the women all yenter it up with you, because there's no guys in this place, and there's no guys that really look manly guys. Then the one guy comes in who doesn't think he's going to see any other guys in there, and he wants to get his eyebrows waxed. He's mortified, because when he sees me sitting over there, and you know, these little Asian women, they're like, you want to get the eyebrows waxed? And he's like slinking into the room, you know, because he sees me sitting there. I recommend it. You know what? If you have a lot of stress in your body and you want to release it, get a pedicure. If you're a man, you'll be able to deal with it. It's not a womanly thing. It's actually pretty relaxed.
As long as you're not ticklish. Now I've gotten my eyebrows waxed once.
We have those thick eyebrows. You probably need it done.
I got it done underneath, you know, under here, you know.
Yeah, to get those the rogue hairs out.
Yes.
There.
Yes, and let me tell you something.
It hurts.
Forget about it. Yeah, it hurt, but it was the aftermath that was the problem, because the girl who did it ripped off half the skin off my eyelid. And it looked like I had been in a brawl. It masculinized the experience by making it look like I was in a fight.
he needed 5 stitches after he got his eyebrows waxed,
rather than having grooming done.
My sister was going to cosmetology school, and she wanted to. My father and I were like the test dummies. So my father used to get his. She used to do my father's nails, his fingernails. I wouldn't let her near, because she would cut. His cuticles would be bleeding for days after she got done. She wasn't very good at doing the nails, but she wanted to test out her waxing skills.
Oh man!
So I'm like, I'll let her wax my back. This is when I was, you know, pretty big bodybuilder, and you know, I used to have to shave it a little bit, and what she did to my back. Oh my god. Men should not get waxed, because our hair is just too thick.
Too thick.
They don't understand. The women don't understand. No, it's all the same. No, it's not the same. Men have coarse hair, especially if you're Italian.
And the problem is, when those coarse hairs grow back, you get ingrown hairs.
Yes.
And I got my back waxed once, and it looked great for about 30 hours. Then after that, I woke up in the morning, I looked in the mirror, and I turned around and looked in the mirror, and it was like I was a goalie for a dart team.
Right? You got all those little beads on your back?
It was horrible, and they got worse and worse and worse. It looked like I had done, you know, 5,000 milligrams of juice a week for, you know, a year. It was terrible.
Yeah, my skin was terrible also. I will not let anyone put wax on me.
Never, ever again.
I know men bodybuilders who use Nair, and they say it works. My body's like immune. I could leave Nair on my skin for 5 hours, and then a single hair won't fall out.
I used Nair once in Mexico, because I had no one to shave my back.
Right.
And it was something I was able to do, you know, by myself.
How'd you get the Nair on your back?
I used a like a back scrubber loofah thing.
That sounds very dangerous. You
know, it felt like I had someone had thrown acid on me. it burned so bad, especially on the back of my lower back part of my neck.
Shit.
Oh my god, it was horrendous.
Did you use the Jimmy the Bull PVC pipe?
Well, I used a like a back scrubber with a loofah thing on the end.
So you loofed the Nair into your back. That probably was really smart.
It's the only way I could spread it. I didn't scrub it in. I just spread it around. You know,
my skin's immune to the Nair. It doesn't even burn me.
But it melts the hair. It was worse.
Did it melt your hair?
It melted the hair. And it was like, it wouldn't come off. It was like stuck to my skin.
Oh shit.
And it was worse. And plus I had to like live in the swimming pool for 2 days until, you know, the pain subsided from the burning sensation.
I think your back is not, your legs are probably a little more callous than your back.
You know,
when you shave, we shave our legs. So you build up some callousing there, I think, you know.
You remember
the first time you shaved them, how sensitive they
were? You know
what?
I only use a clipper. I don't use the razor.
Oh, you don't?
Because I get ingrown hairs. I use a clipper. It gets it close enough. Plus, I don't have very thick hair.
The clipper is what gives me ingrown hair.
It shouldn't, because it leaves a little bit of it above the skin. You get the ingrown hair by shaving the hair off at the level of the skin. When it starts growing, if it grows on an angle, it grows into the skin rather than out.
That Mach 2 razor is brilliant. It's worth every penny. The blades are a freaking fortune, but you know what? I never get an ingrown hair from that Mach 2.
Three.
The Mach 2.
The Mach 2?
The Mach 2. But then I have two different... This is my razor system. I have the Mach 2, okay?
For your body.
For my body. And then for my face, I use the Gillette with the... It's like five...
The five blades.
It's five blades. I don't even know what they call it anymore. It's got a name, the turbo or some... It's crazy.
Now, play that out, you know, 30 years into the future. You could have like a 19-blade razor. Right.
Yeah, I didn't think they would ever get... They went from two or three... Is it three blades?
They went from one to two to three to four. Now
Mach 3?
Yeah, the Mach 3 is three.
Right, okay. They went from three to five. They skipped four. I don't know why. Maybe they only do odd numbers. I'm not really sure how that works. Because there's a one blade, then there's a three blade, and there's a five blade, right?
Well, this was the war between Gillette and Schick. So the, one comes out with three blades, the other one's got to come out with four blades. So.
All I know is that I've never seen a more... those replacement blades are so expensive.
Yep.
Did you ever go to the drugstore to buy those fuckers?
If there's any one thing I would ever probably decide to shoplift in my life, it's razor blades.
And you know what they do? Because that, I think other people have decided to do that too. They have them in a locked area.
They lock them up, I know.
They lock them up. Well, you have to push the button in, and there's a whole procedure to get them out.
Right.
With your credit card.
People must steal those.
They do, because you can only buy them at the checkout line at the grocery store or at the drugstore. You got to get them from some kind of locked display.
I should check on eBay. I bet there's people who sell like the stolen Mach 3 blades.
You'd think the Chinese by now would have knockoffs.
I'm telling you, if you want to go into a good business, make a generic replacement for the Mach 3 razor. I'll buy them.
Yeah, they're what, a couple bucks a piece if you amortize it out.
I think
right?
So. It's like $18 for like four blades or something
it's
that.
It's ridiculous.
It's more than a dollar something a blade. It's like $2 or $2.50
a
blade.
I think it's $12 for eight blades.
Right.
I think.
It's like almost $2
a
blade.
It's almost $2 a blade.
And they only last a couple of shaves.
A long time.
Well, it's not if you're doing your whole body. You don't do your body.
I don't do my body.
Yeah.
But my face beard is pretty tough.
Yeah,
I go about a week.
You know, which one do you use on your face?
I use the Mach 3 Turbo.
I'm telling you, try the Gillette one with the five blades.
I can't afford the cartridges.
I think those cartridges are cheaper than the Mach 3s, actually, believe it or not. And they got the Mach, do you see the Mach 3 with Turbo? Or
yeah, the Turbo is the one I use.
With the vibrating blade?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't
The blades are the same, by the way.
Right,
they
vibrate.
They're just green. And I'm like a dummy, I buy them because I like the green blades so it matches the razor. Meanwhile, my vibrator doesn't even vibrate because the batteries are dead, and I'm too lazy to replace the battery.
Yeah.
So,
that's what she said.
Bad news, John, for New York State drivers. We've been declared the dumbest drivers in the country.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just drive down the Southern State Parkway. Have you ever seen an accident and then like a quarter of a mile later see another accident?
It happens all the time.
On Southern State Parkway is a death road.
According to this survey, they took New York State drivers know the least about the rules of the road. 20% of them fail the written exam.
There was a lady yesterday. We had a real max and I thought she was going to kill him. This lady's backing out, turning around, oblivious to the other cars around her. She must have almost caused like nine people to die within the course of half a block. Unbelievable. I never saw anything like it. I'm looking at her and I'm walking past her. I'm going, Lane, you're going to kill somebody. And she gives me this dirty look like you know, I'm the one that's doing, pointing her, you know, shaking her finger at me like I'm the one doing something wrong. She backs out of Stillwater's right into the road without looking. There's a car coming in either direction. They both slam on their brakes and she stops in the middle of the road and looks at them like they're fucked up.
Well, you know, this is a true story, and I hate to confirm what Jimmy Pleccio always says, but I was in Bev's parking lot leaving the gym the other day. I had to pick Guy Iaquinta up. We were going to go to the city for the show. Uh-huh. As my Nicole Ball, Big Sean Andros, and Guy as my witness in the car, I was waiting to pull out, and these two Asian women pulled right in front of me, and they couldn't decide where to go. And they were waiting for me to do something and I couldn't move because they were right in front of me. They had to either go to the left of me or the right. Now to the right there was nothing there. So they had one choice to go to the right. They could not figure this out. They had to get out of the car
and survey.
They were taking measurements with like rulers and stuff like that, protractors, and you know, trying to map the I couldn't believe it. And Sean and I were just laughing our ass off because, you know, the stereotypes come true.
You go to Chinatown and look at one of those bent up, banged up vans, and you'll crackle your ass up off. I'm telling you. Now, according to the state of, what is this now? The state of Ohio, John, they have a new law now that police can give speeding tickets if they think the car is going too fast. They no longer have to hit you with a radar gun. They no longer have to pace you. They say that the cops are trained so well in Ohio that they say that they can judge speed just by looking at it.
I'll never
what do you think about this?
Never one? Stand up in court.
They change the law.
Doesn't matter. It's not going to stand up in
it
court.
It will. It's going to stand up in court because that's the law now. So in other words, the judge can say, okay, the cops believes that you're going fast. You're going fast.
If I was the lawyer, I would take the cop out and I'd make him prove it. I would drive by at five different speeds and tell him to tell me how fast he's going.
They're saying that they're still going to rely mostly on radar, but if it comes, if push comes to shove, they're allowed to say that they're experts in judging speed. And
well, you know what's next?
There's no fighting it.
You know what's next?
What?
You'll get a ticket every time you leave your driveway in your car because it's 550 horsepower and it's capable of going 190 miles an hour. So they're going to figure your speed. So they're going to give you tickets based on the fact that your car is capable of speeding.
They should just charge you a premium. Like, you should have to pay. If you pay, you should be able to pay $1,000 at the beginning of the year, John, and never have to worry about speeding. You know, you just show them this little card you got. You say, I paid my $1,000 already. Okay, you go.
Yeah, it's called a PBA card.
I want something that's guaranteed to work anywhere. You know?
And they pretty much work all the time.
So, but you know what? The reason I bring this up is because, what do you think is the next thing they're going to give the cops the ability to do? Search your house without a warrant?
No, well, I mean, as far as speeding goes, I think my last point was valid. If you have a car, you know, that's known for speeding, like a Ferrari or a hot Mercedes or a Porsche, you know, they'll probably give you tickets just based on the fact that you probably do speed in that car.
Why can't they just search your car without even a warrant if they think that you're going to have drugs? Aren't they experts at judging whether people have drugs or not?
Yeah, well, they can search your car without a warrant.
Well, no, now they can't.
Well, they need probable cause.
Right, but I'm saying they don't even need probable cause anymore. Maybe they'll change the law.
Well, you know what? They try talking you into it. They pull you over and they say, well, let's look in your trunk. And you say, nah, I don't want you to. We'll have to get a warrant. You know, we're going to keep you here by the side of the road.
I know people have not let them open. Who's telling us that
Billy
story?
Billy Guns,
right? Had loaded it with steroids in his trunk. And the fucking guy didn't let him open the trunk.
Because he got his lawyer on the phone,
yeah,
right?
He was lucky he got out of it. He would have gone to jail otherwise,
yep.
So.
Sure would have.
I don't know.
Good for him.
McDonald's, John, is raising the bar now. They are coming out with a new line of fancy McDonald's now, where they're going to the Golden Arches locations are going to be upgraded, I guess, to have a more modern look to them. Mm-hmm. They have Wi-Fi now. They're going to be offering manicures. Yes. And they're now offering Angus snack wraps, John, which I'm looking actually. And I'm thinking about going to try. So we're supposed to be rolling them out in New York around June 14th. And they're also going to have some McCafe real fruit smoothies.
Wow.
And frappes.
What?
So McDonald's is really upping the ante. They're not sitting back on their laurels and resting. They're upping the menus and, you know, they're keeping up with the times. What do you think of that?
And I think this is great for you since you are such a diehard McDonald's guy. Now you can get your pedicure and your burger at the same
can
time.
Can you imagine going into McDonald's and getting your fucking toast? Massage?
While you're eating an Angus burger. Yeah. You're eating an Angus wrap.
To be honest with you, the whole pedicure experience, I really could give a shit if they cut my nails, and I could cut my own toenails. I like the
you
foot
like
massage.
The foot, rub, yeah.
The foot massage. I go for the spa pedicure. They massage you for 15 minutes.
Well, that's a good one.
You know, a lot of 10 people, people don't realize you keep a lot of tension in your feet.
Sure. You're on them all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking for the new. I'm hoping that at least on Long Island we're going to get some of the upgraded McDonald's because I'd like to go. You know what? If I knew I can go in there and plug my computer in and work and get my toes done and eat some fucking nice healthy food, I'd stay there all day. I'd ask them to make me my own booth.
Yeah, I got so much work. It's so much work.
I used to do before I had my own house and before I would I had an office space in one of the gyms. I used to do all my consultations at McDonald's.
Yeah, did you?
I would meet people there during the day because it's usually pretty dead. And I would sit and do diet consultation there.
That's kind of bipolar.
I would be eating, you know, burgers and apple pies, and I'd be telling these guys you can't eat any carbohydrates, you know, which is kind of ironic.
I know
about it.
It's great.
Another great news story: the poker world record has been broken, John,
wow.
And that's not for money won, but hours spent at the table. According to this report, Phil Lake just spent 91 hours at a poker table at the Bellagio.
Straight.
They give them I think you get a couple minute rest every hour or something like that.
91 hours.
91 hours. Now the closest,
it's like 5 days.
That's 5 days. What is it, like 4 days?
It's 5 days.
I think it's 4 days.
72 hours is 4 days.
72 hours is 3 days.
36 is 3 days.
Oh, are you? No,
48 is two. 48 is two. I'm sorry. 48 is two. 72
it's
is
almost
three.
4 days.
Almost four days. That's a freaking long time.
Yeah. He was doing yoga in between because they give him a couple minutes break every hour on the hour, or you can save up the minutes if you want. Every 5 hours, he was having people bring him food, and
He must have been doing stimulants.
He must have been on like coke or something, crystal meth or some shit
like that. That's why he'll go 5 hours without food.
And that's why these guys all wear sunglasses.
Yeah, because they're coked out. How do you make decisions fucked up like that?
He was playing the minimum table. He was at a low table because I don't think he would have made it otherwise if he was playing big stakes. But this guy has won over $2.5 million in winnings.
That's amazing.
He's a professional poker player.
Because it's showing you play long enough, you can win.
Well, if you're good at what you do, I guess. You know, this is not a recreational guy who goes in and plays blackjack and throws
he's
away.
He's serious.
$100.
Yeah.
So, and my last story of the day before we get to our commercial break and to our guest today is. You remember I told you and predicted that Zuzu Pets would be the Christmas gift of the year last year?
Yes, you did.
And I even bought a few and they were selling them on eBay. Well, they got a new Zuzu that's out called Kung Zu Pets. They're like Kung Fu Pets, Kung Fu Zuzus.
Wow.
They're hamsters that are dressed as, they have a Kung Zu Ninja Warrior and a Kung Zu Special Forces. And they got all kinds of crazy outfits on. And they're, once again, they have these little hamsters that make all kinds of little chirping noises and stuff like that. And they're for $10, they're like little trendy pets. You know,
the Japanese have always come up with these,
don't they?
Odd pet items.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I do too. Especially because they don't shit.
I wish I could come up with an idea like that, man. We need a real novel idea. I know you're always talking about the shower rod in the hotel, the bent shower rod.
Pisses me off.
that's too mundane though for us. You know, that's like you invent something like that, you wind up being on a coke addict and killing yourself. 35 years old. Where do you go from there? You can only go down.
Right.
You got all this money. You don't know what to do with it. You're really not that talented because it's not really that much. That's not that really innovative of an invention. If I want to invent something like a little bit more unique than that, I think.
Well, we invented the RX Muscle website, and it looks like we'd be breaking in about $100 million a year if you look at it. But
you would think so.
You would think.
But hey, you got to build the house first, and then they'll come. Right?
Yes. And they are coming. So,
and on that very positive note, let's go to our first commercial break. When we come back, we got some good guests on the way. We got Arthur L. Ray and we got Ali Amini calling in from the Middle East. Got a great show.
All right. See you too.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. Anyone who loves fitness and free stuff is going to want to check this out. Metrex is giving away over $250,000 in sports and fitness-related prizes in the Metrex 2010 sweepstakes. Prizes include a Torque Fitness fold-away home gym system, a year subscription to HyperStrike.com, a set of power block quick-change dumbbells, and a grand prize trip for two to the 2010 ESPYs. To enter, go to Metrex.com. That's MetRx.com. Metrex, shaping everybody. See Metrex.com for complete details and rules regarding the sweepstakes.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsUSA.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. New protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com.
That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, I'd like to welcome our next guest back to the show. One of our favorites and one of our fan favorites, that is. The one and only Arthur L. Ray. Welcome, man.
Hey, what's up, Dave? What's up, John? How you guys doing today?
What's happening?
Good. What's new in the world of ALR Industries?
Haters, insanity, and all the other stuff that we love doing the most, you know. Right at the moment, we're getting a lot of, not a lot of, but we're getting some haters on Humor Pro, and it's been kind of entertaining to say the very least.
Well, let's take a step back for a second. Let's talk about what Humor Pro is, because a lot of people have been talking about it. I know you've been talking about it for quite a while. In fact, I think you told me you've been working on this product for 10 years. Is that true?
Yeah, 1998 was the first version, and it was about 80%. It's like 79.2% NNU. I was pretty proud of that, but the problem is it had a breakdown problem once it was bottled.
Wait, 79% what?
It was about 79% NNU, net nitrogen utilization. When you look at it, net nitrogen utilization, you have a protein. And based upon the protein's ability to be utilized by the body, you have a protein utilization that's taken up. In other words, it's the nitrogen that's actually utilized by the body. The rest is either converted to glucose, body fat, or, in lines of the toilet. Yeah. Such as, like, whey, for the most part. We're not talking like hydroisolate, but like a general whey's isolate, whey concentrate, about 83% hits the toilet or stores around your waist. Yeah. And you get about 13% actual percent that has an NNU to it. The amount of NNU is what the cytosol anabolic product is. And as a whole, when you have waste products called catabolites, these catabolites in and of themselves are nitrogen byproducts. These byproducts are ammonia, urea, uric acid, nitrate, and nitrite. And to say the very least, not very healthy for your body for it to be running around in there.
Basically, there's a lot of waste products. Some of the protein, you said, gets converted to glucose. How does one measure this net nitrogen utilization?
Well, it's rather disgusting, but it's quite scientific nonetheless. It's actually a pretty simple factor. You take a given amount. First, you have a clean-out period where you have your subjects that they'll take either a 48-hour or a 72-hour protein-free washout. Then you give them a given amount of protein.
Hold on, Arthur. We got to do this very slowly because our listeners are not going to understand what you're talking about. You got to do a washout period. Does that mean you don't eat any protein for a certain period of time?
You don't eat any proteins whatsoever. In other words, vegetables have proteins because they have amino acids and so on and so forth. So what you end up pretty much living on is a glucose-based diet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're just basically like kind of like the that master cleanse that John and I did, where you just eat drinking maple syrup essentially.
Is this NNU? Is this a standard scientific term used in the industry, or is this something that you guys have kind of coined as part of your research?
No, it's been part of actual research and science and physiology since the 40s. Just recent term to the supplement industry.
Okay, so you clean them out for 48 hours. They're just glucose, no protein, and then what's next?
The next thing you do is you take a plasma level and you find out what their basic amino acid plasma levels are. You can take a before and after.
What level is that called, Arthur?
A plasma level, plasma level.
Okay, that's while they're fasting, basically, off of protein?
Yes.
Okay.
And you want to see what basically, you're taking a look at their entire profiles, everything from insulin to their hormone profiles and everything. But your main interest is the amount of amino acids that are in the serum that is being actually utilized within the body. And what you're looking for is, of course, catabolism, which is, as you know, the breakdown of amino acids from the muscle cells, usually for the most part, in the form of branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Mm-hmm. So now we got our washout period, and they're clean. We've taken a base number. The next thing we do is we put on diet for a given period of time. It could be a cue where it's a single dose, or we can use like a one-day study, a 48-hour study, a week-long study, whatever it is. And you collect all urine and all feces, and then you take the amount of nitrogen that went in, and you weigh, then you measure the amount of nitrogen that came out, and the remaining number is net nitrogen utilization. So 83% of it ends up as waste, and that means 13% actually landed in muscle tissue and was utilized. The rest of this can be validated by also by tissue weights and mTOR.
So now you're collecting urine and feces, and you're determining how much whey is in there?
Yes, you're determining how much waste. You have to realize your body has a specific amino acid profile that it utilizes during different times. If you take an athlete, for instance, and you put them under extreme stress, normally as a rule, one of the biggest problems is that they lose muscle mass because of the fact that their body is utilizing the branched-chain amino acids from the cells. Now, as a whole, it makes the branched-chain amino acids are about one-third of the total weight of a cell and total protein content. But if you look at it from a different format, as in the actual cellular content and the cellular weight itself in a dry complex, you look at it almost two-thirds.
I just want to be clear on this. So you're saying that in the waste product, both urine and feces, you're going to find whey protein?
No, amino acids. Nitrogen. He's talking about
nitrogen.
It's going to be in the form of nitrogenic waste. In other words, you would measure ammonia, which most of that is excreted by lungs, but you'll find ammonium, nitrate, nitrite, uric acid, and urea. When you look at your blood work and you see uric acid counts and BUN, that's basically what you're after, is finding out how much of it exits the body rather than is utilized by the body. If you took in 100 grams and you have 83 grams in waste total, then you have a 13% retention of NNU.
Are you just feeding them whey protein, or are you giving them other protein sources too?
Oh, we've used pretty much every protein source there is so far that we can think of. Right now we're using hemp protein, but we can't get people to quit trying to smoke it.
Just got to throw a little humor in there.
Throw it out,
hey, it was my bong, and I'll use it as I like. Okay.
Now, assuming if the stuff is not coming out in the waste, then you're assuming the muscle is incorporating it into it itself. Correct.
You're not just assuming. Then you use your blood test to validate. You do, like I said, we're going back again to utilization by testing the serum levels. And the serum levels, it'll show you how much of the amino acids have actually entered the bloodstream and still remain. The rest of it is still, it will give you a count as to what is actually being utilized. If you're monitoring the glucose count, you can also count to the, you can also extrapolate the amount that is turned into gluconeogenesis into sugar, into glucose. As you know, gluconeogenesis is the conversion of proteins in the form of amino acids directly into glucose so the body can survive.
Yeah, but how would you know how much gets converted into glucose, because ultimately that would be absorbed into the cells?
You actually are monitoring. You're doing a full 24-hour monitoring. If you're going to do acute, it's easy. You can just monitor over a six-hour span.
So you're taking blood. How often do you take blood sugar if you're monitoring over 6 hours?
The entire time. You sit on a meter the entire time.
You sit on a meter? I'm not.
Well, not literally sit on, but you got a needle hanging out of your arm. Okay.
Okay. I got you.
So you're just constantly taking the glucose level.
Yeah, so you have your glucose level. It's really easy to extrapolate. But the bottom line is, any way you look at it, if it doesn't exit the body, it's the only part that is retained. And what we're talking about is retained net nitrogen utilization. If you show no increase in glucose, which with HemoPro, you'll show a decrease in glucose, not an increase.
Now I know what Diego does on the weekends, John. He collects feces from Arthur L. Ray's test subjects
and extrapolates the nitrogen.
Yeah. So tell us what HemoPro did when you tested it on this study that you put it to.
Well, actually, we found it rather interesting. We just finished one study that's actually, it's not going to be published, but it will be presented, and it will be on our site, and it's a clinical independent study that was done by the Bioanalytical Research Group. And what they had done was they had compared the amount of insulin clearing rate that we could induce by dosing with Humulin. 10 tabs of Humulin per patient, and then we gave them 75 grams of dextrose prior. This was the first test, and we were able to clear the entire 75 grams within 75 grams entirely cleared in under a 2 hour rate. Actually cleared in about 30 minutes.
Of HemoPro, you're talking about?
Using the HemoPro, in other words, it has that great of an insulinogenic effect. And the cool part is the insulinogenic effect, we have shown no storage in fat.
Right. Now, why would you want an insulinogenic effect from the protein source you're taking?
Well, without an insulinogenic effect, you have no cellular uptake. Insulin is the shuttle that allows nutrients to enter. You have insulin-dependent and non-insulin-dependent shuttling of nutrients. The non-insulin-dependent would be controlled by leucine for the most part, which is a great insulinogenic mimicker to a certain point. However, it's the way you deliver it and the amounts that are delivered over a period of time that allows whether or not the glucose can be cleared into the cell or cleared into fatty tissues.
Right, but the HumaPro itself, you don't want that to be insulinogenic, because wouldn't that assume that some of the protein is getting converted to glucose?
No, because the form what we do is we use a unique, we've also got a patent on, we got a 17-layer patent going right now that I've reached the point that I've lost track of it all. But to make a long story short, we have a compound that's in there that comes from bitter melon. Bitter melon, we do a specific fractional extraction and then a series of other processes that are right now, they're currently patent pending. And what we end up coming up with is a insulinogenic effect that is totally lipolytic. In other words, it inhibits fat accumulation. We've already done the studies in humans, we've done it in rats, and there's about 20 studies that already were published on the bitter melon to start with to validate this, but nobody knew why it actually did it.
Do you have these studies up on the site? Because I know some of our listeners are going to want to read them.
All they got to do is go through all the way through the HumaPro and go to the back end. There's about 20 studies up there.
Cool. Now, does this stuff possibly lead to low blood sugar if you're on a restricted diet, especially a restricted carb diet?
You know, it's rather interesting. One of my concerns was, what's I going to have to label with a warning? Because cautious of blood glucose drops and so on and so forth. Of course, we did make a little notation about be careful about being lightheaded, et cetera, et cetera. However, we've noticed that no matter what, it seems to bring people's glucose levels down to about 75 to 72, and it won't go any lower.
Oh, that's good. So it's self-limiting.
We're pretty sure of it just because of the simple fact that the structure of the compound itself is very, very similar to insulin itself, but it's missing a couple parts, especially there's an occlusion that's at the end, one of the end terminals, and as such, it has a whole different effect. It's like when you alter the end terminal on IGF-1, you get a long R3.
Now, how many grams of this HumaPro are you supposed to be taking per day, and when is it supposed to be taken?
Okay, as far as how many grams, it's actually do a formula is real simple. Assuming that you are normally taking in 1 gram is the equivalent of 5.6 grams of whey protein, okay, as to what your body actually utilizes. So in doing so, you would take the total amount of protein that you usually take in and divide it by 5.6, and that'll give you what your daily total intake if you were going to totally replace all proteins with HumaPro. But to do so, it's not really that necessary. Personally, I believe strongly in you want whole foods, good clean foods, and then you want a supplement with something like HumaPro or some effect. Myself, I've been on HumaPro straight for several months now with no other forms of protein.
Nothing else?
The closest I had was a shrimp about 3 weeks ago.
Wow. Now, how many grams will you take in per day?
I'm taking in 40 grams a day right now.
Just 40 grams of HumaPro is sustaining all that muscle you got in your physique?
Actually, I'm gaining weight.
Really?
On 40 grams of protein a day, that's it?
That's it. I'll let you guys, I can show you guys the research. We've got all the validation. I've been studied. I've been charted. I've got everything, and I'm one of five people all doing it.
He's had his poopy measured.
I conned somebody into letting me use one of their pros and prep them entirely on HumaPro. Wow.
So, Arthur, when you get studied, do you have to, like, shit into, like, a bag or something like that? I mean, how do they collect all your bodily excrements?
Well, that's the chase you around with a bottle. You just try to hit it. No. If you've ever seen, like, a porta potty where you have the bag, like a camping porta potty, there's a bag underneath it, and you basically use one of those for all your excretion.
That's pretty hardcore, I got to tell you. You know, not many company owners would subject themselves to that.
Well, I figured this way. I've got right at the moment 33 people that are involved in one form of study or another, and they're all sitting on the porta potty, so at least I can do a stand up. I always believe in lead from the front, not from the rear.
Yeah, exactly. Now, hold on, just one more question. Is HumaPro, isn't it in pill form? I understand. Yes. So how many pills are you taking a day?
Like I said, I'm taking, 40 pills would be actually 40 grams.
Oh, so the gram a pill.
A gram of protein.
So now, there's also an insulinogenic compound in it, and then there's an anticorticoid in it. Between the two, it inhibits catabolism and inhibits dramatically inhibits fatty fat uptake of the nutrients themselves. So it's actually a repartition agent.
So it's just not protein. There's other things in there too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Chia seeds basically is made up of essential amino acids, but they're specific ratios for human physiology. In other words, this isn't cow protein. I mean, cow protein is made for cows. The reason we do hydrolysates and so on and so forth and isolates is because we're always looking for the fractions that are closer towards human use. By hydrolyzing whey protein, what you get is you get basically essentially pre-digested into single di- and tripeptide amino acids so the body can utilize it better. In other words, what they're doing is they're hoping the body's going to utilize it in a format that's more close to a human probe. Unfortunately, it would be so pure hydro isolate would be so expensive that it would be running right around $25 a pound for somebody to buy.
Wow, that's expensive. Now, Scott Conley has something, you know, a little different than this, but he has isolated certain fractionations of hydroxylates. Is that what you're doing? Do you have certain fractions of these hydroxylates you're using and others that you're not?
We are basically using essential amino acids, the eight essentials base, and we're using a specific ratio to what the body utilizes. The way we've done this is we've taken over the years several athletes and tracked their plasma amino acid profiles to see what turns into waste and what is actually present. In doing so, we were able to do the enzymic conversion rate, which is actually on the website also. You can click on it. It's a whole chart that shows you how the eight amino acids are made into over 4,000 others.
Wow. Lars, let me ask you a question. If you were to put HumorPro up against the baseline standard, you know, whey protein isolate, comparatively speaking, anabolically and catabolically, how does HumorPro stack up against whey protein?
Well, here's where the fight and the haters start, so let's get it started. So far, the numbers we've been able to come up with is on HumorPro, it's 99% is utilized, and that's your net nitrogen utilization. In other words, it's 99% anabolic, and we have 1% catabolites. That's on an average. We've had a couple studies come back at 100% utilized. We've had a few come back at 2% that was waste. So, like I said, we use 99-1 as our ratio. Yep. Whereas if you take a look at what we isolate, and especially concentrates, you're going to find that, assuming that what's on the label is actually in the bottle, and no disrespect towards any company, but quite often people do not pre- and post-test their proteins, because we finally gave up trying to buy a whey isolate that actually what it said on the label was in the bottle. Instead, like we had several that said 92%, and they would test out at 81, 80, 82 in that area. So we finally went ahead and used the pharmaceutical grade test against. Now, the ratio we came up with there was 17% was utilized, 83% was waste. So in other words, if you want to see how they compare, we've got a 99-1 ratio versus a 13-83 ratio.
And were you doing it on a gram-for-gram basis, or were you doing it like on the serving size basis?
Well, in order to create the same nitrogen balance and the same amino acid profile, we had to use 5.6 times the amount of whey isolate to get the same profiles and to have in that we had as far as the retention. Unfortunately, the toxicity levels were so high due to ammonia, nitrates, and so on and so forth in the blood that we decided that, well, this is probably not the healthiest approach to go with.
So that's a pretty incredible realization that the standard proteins that people are, you know, touting today in the marketplace are only, you know, are 17% available?
Yes. Well, it's not their fault. You have to realize this, is that the whole idea of we've been using net nitrogen utilization for a basis of actual protein quality for many, many years in physiology and so on. Unfortunately, in the supplement industry, we've been using PER and so forth, protein efficiency ratio. Just because 100% is absorbed doesn't mean 100% is going to be used. And the truth is, if you have 100% is being absorbed and your body can only use a certain percentage of what's coming in, let's do that to a comparison to arsenic. How much of it do you really want to process?
None. None. Zero.
Exactly. And recently with all the arsenic and lead that's being found in whey proteins, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me currently. However, there are a lot of good clean proteins. Like, for instance, Dr. Scott Conley, man, is an absolute genius. I admire him more than I could ever express. That guy has done more with whey protein than probably anybody on the whole planet combined.
So you think his products are probably top quality?
If as far as whey protein, I think they're the best there is.
Okay, well, that's a good compliment coming from you, Arthur. You don't give out compliments very easily.
The man's a genius, and I've had the pleasure of talking and speaking with him once personally, and he had no idea who I was, but of course it was driving him nuts. And I was extremely impressed, very knowledgeable, very well spoken. I had to find myself that I had to switch back from slang that we're used to using in the industry back over into actual academia, which was funny.
Arthur,
to think about it, in academia, you would say fascia. Now, how many bodybuilders do you know that would call it fascia?
True.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Can you hear the word catabolic, not catabolite?
Sure. What are you, at a Dallas Cowboys football game, Martha? It sounds like you're in the stadium in the background.
No, actually, there's a hell of a party going on out here.
Ah, I should only have known. I should only have known. You're taking a break.
Party at your house?
Kind of taking a break. Unfortunately, I got to finish some copy for. I'm working with. I've got Patrick Dibb from. Bioanalytical Research Group here, and he's helped me do some numbers to work on the presentation of how we're actually going to present some magazine ads and so on and so forth.
Gotcha.
We have so many people that, let me think about this in the industry, almost every company out there makes some form of a whey protein.
Sure.
Well, this means that I'm stepping on their income when I've already validated it in several different ways that it's inferior. And I'm not putting anybody down. People worked with what they had to work with. I spent a lot of years working with this. At one time, I had a whey protein on the market, and after seeing a lot of blood work from too many athletes, I decided the whey was definitely not the way to go. And I've been looking for a protein source since. It was a better choice. We used to have a product, like I said, that was, which was called Lipo Whey. And we pulled it to the simple fact, even though the flavor is great and it's sold very well, I personally have a thing about putting anything on the market that I know for a fact is toxic.
Well, that's very noble of you. Now, Arthur, what do you got planned for the Olympia this year? Because you've been very quiet as far as contests go and booths. I haven't heard too much from you on that. I know you must have something big for the Olympia coming up.
Oh, we do, and I'm not telling anybody in advance.
Come on, man.
No, because they'll stop them ahead of time.
The moment I make the mistake of saying something on the air, if we're going to do this, next thing I know, there's 40 other companies doing the same exact damn show.
Well, give us a teaser, at least.
Or at least somebody trying to stop you.
Oh, we get that a lot.
Why do you think that is?
They like them at the Olympia. They don't bother them at the Olympia.
No, at the Olympia, they like them, but at the other show.
We didn't even want at the Olympia.
Yeah.
And think about this as a whole. We were, first of all, the ones that are being blamed for a whole lot of things, which is true. And so it's not like I'm going to deny it. We were the first ones to bring body painted girls to the shows. Now, not a lot of people do it. We were the first ones to put on an actual stage show. Now everybody does it.
Stripper poles.
We were the first ones to actually put on live interviews and stuff on radio. Now pretty much everybody does it. And so I made the mistake of letting people know these things in advance. And now it's reached the point that I'm up against my own project, my own marketing before I get there.
Right.
So why'd I spend $180,000 to be there?
So, but let's just say you're going to have a big booth at the Olympia.
We're going to do something totally different. Nobody has ever seen us do before, and we're actually going to be rather quiet about it.
Okay. So you're not going to have a booth?
Oh, we're going to have a booth, all right. We're going to be taking up a lot of area.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good teaser.
Well, let's put it this way. I know you don't want to talk about the booth. What about the after party? Is there going to be an after party?
We're undecided at this point. I probably am going to do an after party, but I'm probably going to do something a little bit different. Last year's after party at the AC, in my opinion, totally blew. It was our worst after hours party we have ever done, and I mean, hell, I even left.
Really? How come?
Well, we had set up, and what we originally thought we were going to do, and what we originally thought the plan was to be back to, you remember in 2006 or 2007 when we were the title sponsor and we had that whole upper section on the far side?
Yeah, it was great.
And Kent Siegel kept getting thrown out and laid
it. Yeah.
Well, that's where we were supposed to be, and we ended up in an entire different section of the place that was like very secluded, so there was no traffic flow, and well, it was boring as hell.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't our usual thing where we just have everybody having a good time, partying their ass off, wandering party to party. And, come on, we know everybody in the industry. We hang out with everybody and have fun and laugh our asses off and stuff. Well, when we're clear on the other side, we didn't get to see anybody, and we thought there was really no marketability there, and that's half the reason you have an after-hours party, is so you have a chance to talk to the buyers, but so you can also tell it to the people who supported all these years. Thank you.
Yeah, it took me probably 45 minutes to find you. That's how secluded it was in the back there.
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. It was dead opposite of what we had planned. It was totally opposite of what we had intended. And in my opinion, it was so we're doing something totally different this year as far as after hours party goes. And we're very possibly going to be using either the win or one of the other ones.
I think you need to take over. I think you need the entire club is what you need.
I think that's kind of what we're planning.
Yeah, that's
well, that's kind of hard to do in Vegas unless you pull like a Craig Titus and have your own after party or something like that, you know, in like a separate like venue almost.
That's kind of what we are doing.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Because you know what happens when you have five parties going on in the same club, it's too you know, disorienting and confusing, and you can't find where you got to go. And then, of course, you have the guest list issues, and you know, people are trying to get in, they can't get other people in. It's a freaking nightmare. If you had the whole club, it would
so
be...
What's the point of embarrassing? Here's what had happened with us. We had told that, you know, we have open bar, we have open everything, just like we always have. I mean, come on. We spent $40,000 on an after-hours party, the hell I could have done for $3,000.
True. Yeah, that's true.
And I'm sitting there looking around and going, this is a joke. This is absolutely embarrassing to even be here. And I'm sitting there looking at people, how is this me showing appreciation to people that have supported us for all these years? Mm. Invite them to a crappy-ass party.
The best party I ever went to that Arthur threw was when he had that in that Brazilian steakhouse in Texas. You threw that party?
Cool, dude.
I had the best time. I don't even need to be in a nightclub. You put me in a Brazilian steakhouse with booze and unlimited meat.
That's
great.
Yeah.
And what we have in mind this year is I have a place that if I get it set up, it's going to be a matter of we're going to be able to party, eat, have a good time, or you'll be able to get away from the noise so you can actually talk to people, but also get out in the noise and party and dance and, you know, play a little grab ass with the girls and all the stuff, you know.
Sounds good to me, man. All right, before we let you go, Arthur, tell us where we can get Humor Pro, and when is it on sale everywhere? I mean, should we buy it online? What's the best way to get this stuff?
It's online. You can get it from our site. We sell it. We sell everything on our site for 2 for $1, and we always send out shirts and all kinds of other promotional stuff. These are people supporting us, and it's not like we're trying to steal from the people that we actually sell the product to, because for obvious reasons, you don't want to hurt your benefactors.
Sure.
But you can get it online. It's I believe we're in 1,100 online sites right now, and we're at Vitamin Shop. Just picked it up.
Oh, great.
We haven't shipped it yet. We'll be shipping this coming week because we're backward. We ran 10,000 units and it sold out in 21 hours.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, I thought we had a month. Sorry. It takes 6 weeks to do all the processes it takes to actually create Humor Pro.
It takes 6 weeks to make it?
Well, think of it this way. I mean, this is the reason the patents are so deep. There's everything from time delay to time delivery to nano size in certain particles so that we have. First of all, do a little research on essential amino acids. If all eight aren't present at the cell at the same time, anabolism is not triggered. The longer you have to wait for all eight to be present in the right ratios, the longer you wait for anabolism and the more waste product you have. Now, if your body's just converting, like, say, for instance, all the gluconeogenic amino acids into sugar or into glucose in the body, that's the percentage of anabolism you also lose. So we had to protect this part of the molecules had to be protected. Some of them had to be shuttled. Other ones had to be dropped lower in the GI tract. Some had to be nanosized in order to create it so that all eight arrive as close as possible to the cells at the same time. There's usually about a 48-minute time difference. We have it down to about 30 seconds.
Arthur, it sounds like a phenomenal product. It's available everywhere. It'll be in Vitamin Shop in a couple of weeks, and it's online in 110 different locations. And once again, Arthur, thanks for supporting our site and supporting us. And I'm excited to try the new protein.
Yeah, me too.
You guys haven't got it. I know I sent you guys both a couple bottles.
I didn't get anything yet.
I didn't get anything either.
You better check your tracking system over there, Arthur.
Not a problem. I will. That means my boys just snagged from your ass.
They snagged it. They probably pocketed it on their own. Yeah.
Oh, no. This is dead serious. It comes in, right? So we finished the run and everything else, and usually we ship right out of manufacturing. Right. Well, in this case, we shipped part of manufacturing, then we ended up with about 4,000 units that actually came into the warehouse. And I can walk in, there's guys grabbing cases and writing it off for self-use.
Oh, boy.
I went, no. You guys know the rules. You're allowed a bottle.
People get greedy, you know. Man, it's like they think they're in the candy store there over there.
Oh, I kid you not. I'm not joking. I look over, and I swear to God, I watched half a pallet disappear, and I went, hey!
you got to be careful, yeah. Especially with having bodybuilders work in your warehouse. That's probably the worst thing to do.
I've got a lot of people that are waiting for this product, and they waited very patiently for several months until I had it exactly as I wanted. And just so you know, it is being released in powder form, too, and we are putting work on on the complete meal protein bars right now. We have a contract with the 4 school districts that are fascinated with it.
That's awesome. That's phenomenal. You know what? When you release the bars, get back to us, and we'll do a whole show on the bars, too.
That sounds like a great plan.
All right, Arthur. Have fun with your party, and keep us updated.
I will. There's... Well, let's put it this way, John. You really wish you were looking at what I am.
We all do, don't we?
We all do.
Remember the time I sent you the picture of the girl with three sets of racks?
Yes.
Well, I've got three girls laying across. They're lined up in the right order. Never mind. I'm sure you can get the picture ahead.
The one and only Arthur L. Ray. Thanks, Arthur. We'll be in touch.
Best days to you guys. Love you both.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
Anyone who loves fitness and free stuff is going to want to check this out. Metrex is giving away over $250,000 in sports and fitness-related prizes in the Metrex 2010 sweepstakes. Prizes include a Torque Fitness fold-away home gym system, a year subscription to HyperStrike.com, a set of Power Block quick-change dumbbells, and a grand prize trip for two to the 2010 ESPYs. To enter, go to Metrex.com. That's M-E-T-R-X.com. Metrex, shaping everybody.
See metrics.com for complete details and rules regarding the sweepstakes.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRindustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsUSA.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
The world crumbles around you. Will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
Build serious muscle now. Get huge and stay lean. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with 4 great GAT products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. New protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it can. Yes. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, John, our next guest has been on this show many times. He's been in the studio with us, and we got him back here by popular demand. It's the one and only Ali Amini calling in from the Middle East. Welcome back.
Hi, Dave.
So now, where exactly are you, for our listeners to know, in the Middle East?
I'm actually, at the moment, I'm in the United Arab Emirates, but I'm originally from Bahrain.
Okay.
Bahrain is 33 islands in the Middle East. It's next to Saudi Arabia.
Right. So, and which emirate are you in right now?
Right now in Abu Dhabi, the capital.
Abu Dhabi.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about contest prep. A lot of people, you actually brought up the subject to me. You said you thought it would be very popular after hearing the interview we did with Chad Nichols and talking about Dennis Wolf and some of the mistakes he made. And I agree with you. I thought it would be a good idea. We haven't done one of these in a while. Talking about how many grams of protein, carbs, fats, talking about certain drugs that people use, supplements. And I think this will be a popular little talk. And you and I have agreed to disagree on certain things. So let's get right to it. Let's start off with what your thoughts are, Ali, as far as protein, carb, and fat ingestion when you're getting ready for a competition.
Well, it depends on the type of diet that you're going to do, and plus, it depends on your weight and how far you look from the competition. Now, the main problem that people do is they tend to calculate protein and carbs pre-cooked, which is totally different story. Like when they read, like they go and on the internet, they check and that they read that 200 grams of chicken is like 36 grams. A 250 gram of chicken is 45 grams. Now,
45 grams of protein. 45 grams of protein. You're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. So if you take 250 grams of pre-cooked chicken, if you cook it, it ends up with 200. So that's the actual weight that you got to calculate. So 250 grams of pre-cooked chicken actually has 36 grams of protein only, because it's considered 200 grams. All the water that it loses, you know, that's lost in protein.
I agree, yeah. Now, I always tell people to calculate their protein content after it's cooked. So you're going to weigh it. In other words, put it on your little gram scale after you've already cooked everything, and that's probably a much more accurate way to assess how much protein.
Yeah, the same thing goes with rice, but rice is vice versa. Like, rice weighs actually less before cooking.
Right.
And then, you know, due to the water absorption, just becomes heavier. Now, this is a question that I usually get a lot from people. That they come up to me and they think they're taking enough amount of protein. But then he says, I'm not able to put on size and things like that. If you get anywhere between 1 gram to 2 grams per pound, that's more than enough, either to maintain or gain size.
I agree with you. You know, the funny thing is that I find that you need to eat a lot more protein to gain muscle than you do to actually, you know, when you're losing weight and when you're trying to diet off the
exactly. That's the 2 gram part. That's where I said 2 grams. You need about 2 grams when you're trying to put on weight.
Yeah, I think, but you know what? I think people try to take it too literally, and then when they diet down, they actually do just as much protein, and I think then they wonder why they can't lose weight, and they're probably eating too many calories. That's my belief, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the total calorie now, to me, calorie, now, types of carbs and types of protein actually react different in the body, but the total amount of calorie is what controls the weight.
Sure. Now, how many grams of fat do you like to get? I know you're not as big on fat as I am, but you do use some fats pre-contest. What do you, how do you calculate?
No, it depends. I do a lot of, I'm at the moment on a ketogenic diet, so, you know, if I do that, usually the fat is anywhere between, like, 15 to 20 grams per meal.
Okay, all right, so you do about
the same. And when I'm, like, what's that?
So we're about the same, then. That's right.
Yeah, and when the guy is, like, on a diet that contains carbs, now, when you take carb, it means you're going to produce insulin. And when you produce insulin, you got to be very careful with the fat. So what we try is to eliminate fat from everywhere and just stick to, like, healthy fat from, like, fish oil and flaxseed, very little. Because, you know, any fat eventually with insulin is a bad combination.
Hmm. Now, how much cardio do you implement with such a diet?
Now, these are the things, John. I mean, the cardio and the amount of carbs. These are not standard. It depends where the guy stands. Now, some people, we start with them, like what I do is with some people, I start 1 gram of protein per pound, 1 gram of carbohydrates per pound. Some people, I start with them 2 gram of carbohydrates per pound. So it differs from a person to another. As I said, you know, it depends on how far you look on the competition day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I prepared people without cardio because, you know, we start like 2-3 weeks after a previous show that he actually is very lean. So at that stage, we're trying just to, like, maintain and try to get more size, more definition without doing the cardio. So we don't want to stress the body and don't want to stress the legs.
So now, is there ever an instance where you would recommend high carbs and no cardio?
No.
John was trying to set you up with that question. I think that wasn't very nice.
Maybe the last couple of days or 3 days, and that's it. But, I mean, who would do that?
Oh, believe it or not.
There's people out there.
Now,
let's talk a little bit about some of the drugs that are used in a pre-contest regimen for bodybuilders who are obviously drug-using bodybuilders. How do you set up your, you know, your anabolic steroids, growth hormone, you know, thyroid, you know, insulin type of a regimen for a pre-contest bodybuilder? And we're talking about an advanced bodybuilder, obviously.
Yeah, well, I usually separate the fat-burning agents from the peptides and from the hormones. Each one has a different cycle. Now, with hormones, the brands are very important. So what I usually do is I tell people to stick to pharmaceutical grade as much as they can. Now, there are certain things that you cannot get it pharmaceutically, which they don't make anymore. Like, for instance, Tremblon. Tremblon, now, the only way you can get it is from underground. But then again, you got to go for a good company. You know, there are a lot of companies in the market that they make this stuff, and when the company starts, the stuff is very good. But then as they gain weight in the market, they reduce the power, the concentration of the substance in the oil. Mm. So, you know, those things have to be very carefully monitored, and, you know, person has to go by feeling, but the person who has to go by the feeling has to know what he's doing.
Let's assume
people just take a lot of things. Yeah.
Let's assume that what the person has is real and works, because we can do a whole show on how to find real stuff and what stuff is no good. Let's assume the person has everything is 100% legitimate. How would you structure their program?
Well, usually, you know, when the beginner usually starts with testosterone, but I'm not a very, you know, fan of testosterone because it's good to begin with. But then again, you know, when you go with trembolone is something that doesn't aromatase and doesn't convert to DHT. So you get a lot of less side effects with it. It's much more anabolic than test. So I would use that as a base if he's an advanced or has been like through 3 or 4 cycles previously.
Let's talk about an advanced bodybuilder. So we don't have to grade it. I want to see the guys who are out there at the top level.
Advanced bodybuilders, they take everything. They don't want to miss anything out. So they take a lot of like a smart bodybuilder. What he would do is he would rather take stuff without taking other medications to control the side effects. Like when you take tests, eventually you're going to end up taking aromatase inhibitors and DHT blockers.
Right. So,
at a certain point, you're going to need them.
It's
not necessarily that you get the side effects immediately, but at a certain point, you're going to need them. But with trembolone, even though sometimes you get like symptoms like gynecomastia and things like that, but it's very minimal compared to tests.
Of course, well, because it really can only be generated via a prolactin-induced gynecomastia because trembolone doesn't convert to estrogen.
Exactly. That's the good thing, that it doesn't convert to estrogen. That's a plus for trembolone.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm still waiting to hear your cycle, your pre-contest cycle for the advanced bodybuilder. You've been skirting the issue here, Ali.
Okay, so do you want me to give you an amount or just
I want an amount. Come on, man. There's guys out there want to hear what you give your guys to take pre-contest.
Assume like a 220-pound, you know, advanced bodybuilder.
Okay, usually the test goes anywhere between 1 gram to 1.5 grams. It depends, like, on the bodybuilder, how he responds.
A week.
And some people respond very even up to 800 milligrams.
Okay. A week.
A week, yeah.
Okay.
Trembolone goes anywhere between 600... And, you know, some guys go to 1 gram a week as well.
That's a little high, but yeah.
Is that every other day?
Yeah. The thing that happens is, like, if I recommend to a guy 600 and I'm working with him the first time, then he comes in and tells me, oh, I took a gram earlier, so I feel that works for me better.
This
is what happens. It's not that I recommend the gram immediately.
Now, would you recommend the trenbolone be taken every other day or all at once at the end of the week?
It depends on the ester. Like, the problem with acetate is if you're taking acetate, it has to be daily. Because acetate usually works anywhere between 30 to 36 hours. So every other day is not enough to keep it constant in your system. Now, if you take the hexabenzyl, which is a 6-carbon ester, but that one stays longer. That one you can do it like every other day or every third day. And you got the other version, the new one, that's an enantate ester. That one stays even longer, and you get some mixes, like it's like a Sustanon version of trembolone. You get all 3-in-1.
Wow!
Now the enanthate version is like the old Parabolone.
No, the hex is the old Parabolone.
Oh, the hex is this one? Yeah, the Parabolone. I remember back in the day.
That one was not so concentrated. Back in the day, it was like 1.5 ml with 76 milligrams.
Right.
Now, and the hex, you can get up to 100 per ml.
How come back in the day, though, I used to take 1 amp of Parabolone twice a week, and I felt like I was going to murder someone. It seemed like it was much more potent.
How strong the drug is. You know, some people take Trenbolone, and they physically they get strong, but they cannot lift weight due to the pump. They get more muscular,
right. They
get stronger, but they cannot lift heavy weights because, you know, the muscles get so pumped, it doesn't allow them to move properly.
Oh, I was moving a lot of weight back in the day, but I didn't have to take as much. How come guys take so much more today? I think that's the real question we want to get to you. Why are guys taking, I know guys taking on the amateur level, taking 3,000, 4,000 milligrams of testosterone, they're taking 2 grams of trenbolone. I mean, do you think this is just insane?
Man, I had a guy who was taking 1.4 grams of trenbolone, and his weight was 150-something.
What?
Pounds. Yeah. They don't know how to use it. They get their hands on the stuff. They use like 2 or 3 mL a week. It works fine. And then he has like 3 bottles, and up, and he has 3 weeks to the show. So he ends up using like anywhere between a gram per week or something like that, or like gram and a half, depending on, like, they divide whatever they have. Like, this is the thing, that when people don't start early, they get frustrated by the end of the cycle, so they do like crazy stuff, and this is one of the things that happens.
Yeah, you should see what your blood pressure goes to when you take a gram of that stuff a week. It's probably through the roof.
And of course, there's no chance in hell of keeping your girlfriend on that much.
No, you'll.
You always say that, but in my case, you know, I fall in love when I'm on trans. So.
You fall in love, but you want to kill her though. That's the problem. You get into fights and stuff, and you wind up cheating on her. It's the girlfriend. John and I call it the girlfriend killer.
Yeah, it's divorce in a bottle.
All right. So you got your testosterone, you got your trenbolone. When do you usually add Winstrol? I know you're a big Winstrol guy too.
Winstrol, you know, tends up usually anywhere between 8 to 12, the last 8 to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And how much will you use of that?
But then again, Winstrol is another drug that actually, you know, causes a lot of muscle stiffness, and but again, you know, doesn't allow you to perform the exercise properly. Now, a lot of people, when they get that feeling, they're happy that they look, you know, they feel hard, but they don't look hard. Mm. Now, this is the thing that people should be aware of. Now, a lot of people, like, there are people who use, like, up to 3-4 mL a day. It's like 200 milligrams of Winstrol a day. And that's more than a lot. So eventually they end up like feeling like stone, but they actually don't look like that.
I think the problem is, John, and Allie, maybe you could back this up too. I think nowadays guys are taking way too much stuff, and what's happening is they're getting side effects that we never got years ago. When I took a CC of Winstrol every other day, you know, when I was competing in the 90s, I didn't get like stiff joints from it or anything like that. When I took Trenbolone, I never got so pumped that I couldn't train. I never took so much testosterone that I had the flu all day long, you know? So I think that the problem is that guys are thinking more is better. If one guy's taking 1,500 milligrams, I'll take 3,000 milligrams, and I heard this pro takes 5,000 milligrams, and I truly believe a lot of these weird side effects that are popping up nowadays are from people overdosing on the stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, a lot of even pros, they take like crazy numbers, and doesn't necessarily work. Just, you know, the secret of bodybuilding is consistency. Whatever you do, you got to keep it consistent. And as you do that, you get better and better and better. You cannot end up being Mr. Olympia after 2 or 3 cycles. Now, this is what people's mentality. They say, oh, I know a pro that's taking this much, so I would take half of what he's taking just to be half as good as he is. Now, the calculation is not like that. The gene factor, that's a big thing. You know, a lot of people respond differently to different amounts of hormones. And a person should start from down and, you know, gradually get up. But even when you're on a steroid cycle, you got to make sure your diet is proper. You got to make sure you're training hard enough to back everything that you got and, you know, complete the equation and get the results that you want.
Here's a big question that a lot of people ask, and I seem to be more on the conservative side, which is kind of ironic considering that I was more on the cutting edge back in the 90s. How much growth hormone do you have your athletes use pre-contest?
Well, I wrote an article and we discussed it last time. I mean, I never advocate more than 8 IUs, but I can tell you a story about a guy who called somebody up and he said, like, I got only 5 days left, and it was like 5 days left, and he needed to lose some weight and was not in shape. So we told him, how much growth do you have? He said, 25 of the 4 IUs. So he said, use 5 daily. So that was like 20 IUs a day. Well, and the guy weighed 165 pounds.
Oh my God.
John, I mean, we know a couple of these contest guys that have recommended 20 IUs a day for the whole contest diet. I'm not going to say who does that or who I heard do it, but there are guys out there doing that. I never, ever advocated people take more than 4 IUs a day. I felt that always worked fine. 5 being maybe on the high side, but
predominantly 2.
Well, 2 is for the normal person.
Yeah, but, I mean, to me, the 8 that I use is divided into 2 doses. It's like 2 4s, and they have to be anywhere, you know, more than 5 hours separated from each other.
Man, that's
and it has to be in a time when the blood sugar is low.
But what? Let me ask you a question. All right, let me challenge you on that, because this is a point that I kind of argue with people. Why do you give the growth hormone when the blood sugar is low? What's your purpose behind that?
The purpose is I'm trying to advocate what the body does. I'm trying to duplicate what the body does, and, you know, because the body actually produces growth hormone when you're asleep. So that's the best time the body can use growth and work with it.
Well, that's
I'm giving it more growth.
That's not necessarily true. That's the time the body naturally releases it. If you're taking growth hormone, why would you want to...
The amount that releases it...
Why would you want to take...
It's not sufficient enough for a bodybuilder who has, like, a lot of shared tissues and he was in a catabolic status for, like, long hours and he wants to recover that.
Right, but why would you want to take...
growth and the time to recovering.
Why would you want to take growth hormone when your body naturally produces it? Wouldn't you want to take it when your body naturally doesn't produce it, which is when it would be the most catabolic, which is in the morning?
No, but in the morning, I mean, that's the time that, you know, even during sleep, that's the time that your body has to be depleted to be able to work with the growth hormone. Now, the growth hormone with insulin doesn't work properly.
No, let's get back. Hold on. Let's get. I'm not letting you off the hook here. Let's get back to timing of this whole thing. Look, if you're trying to stimulate growth hormone release, I agree with you. You have to do it in a low carb environment because growth hormone will not be released in a high carb environment. That's just not how the body works. But if you're just injecting the stuff on your own, that doesn't matter what the conditions are. You inject it and it works. So personally, I feel that you should be taking it when your body naturally doesn't produce growth hormone, when your body is the most catabolic, to help counteract that catabolic nature, and that is always in the morning when you wake up.
Now, I agree with you that in the morning is the time that, you know, you're most catabolic, as you say. But as you eat, you fix all that.
Right.
As your body produces insulin, you're going to fix all that. But the problem with growth is, you know, you say that if you take growth, you know, exogenously, it's going to be not affected by insulin, right?
I didn't say that, but, you know, I'm just...
But something like that. I mean, you're saying that if you take growth and you produce insulin naturally, the insulin that you produce is not going to affect the growth.
Well, if you're taking growth, it might inhibit your insulin from working as well. I agree. That I'll attest to.
Well, you know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to, like, not take those chances. Because, you know, I'll give you an example about, like, how growth works. When you take growth hormone, the thing that happens with your thyroid gland is... when you usually produce growth hormone, what is the regulating hormone for growth? It's somatostatin, right?
That's the thing that blocks growth hormone release, correct?
Yeah, so once you reach a certain level, somatostatin blocks the pituitary so it doesn't produce any more growth.
Right.
Now, what happens is when you take exogenous growth hormone,
right,
the somatostatin gets produced anyway.
Sure.
It doesn't affect the pituitary, but it affects the thyroid hormone. And if the body doesn't produce enough TSH.
Sometimes.
And, you know, the growth actually helps the T4 to convert to T3. But due to the fact that the TSH gets low, you don't produce enough T4.
I don't agree with that.
So that's where a lot of people supplement, you know, thyroid hormones with the growth. So, you know, the thing is, like, with peptides, it's, like, too complicated. And I try to, like, recommend a time where the body does it. You know, I try to duplicate the body, so I would be in the safe side and make the use out of it.
But you just made a great... Hold on. Let me stop you. You just made a great statement why you wouldn't want to take it at night, because if you're producing somatostatin in response to taking exogenous growth hormone, that'll inhibit your nightly production of growth hormone. However, if you take it in the morning, by the time night comes around, you won't have any somatostatin left, and you'll probably release some naturally. So why would you want to inhibit your natural production at night when you can take it in the morning when you don't have any, and you can? It's almost like you're doubling up what your body has.
No, the amount that you're taking is much more than the amount that the body is producing.
Of course,
And you make much more use of that at night when it's the right time to have growth hormone.
Now, is this protocol dependent on whether or not you're using the growth hormone to burn fat or gain muscle?
No, it's the same thing. I mean, to me, that's the best, even for people who just want to stay young, even people who just use growth hormone for, like, anti-aging, I would recommend the same thing.
Oh, so across the board.
My environment for growth hormone is low blood sugar, and at a time, because I use it twice, but what I recommend is the first one to be any time of the day when you're at very low blood sugar. And usually that's post-workout if you burn, you know, if you do proper training and burn the carbs that you had in your system. That's the first time. The second time usually is before bed, because that's another time that, you know, your body's about to produce growth hormone, plus your blood sugar is low again, or should be low.
So you're not advocating taking it in the morning?
No, but a lot of people do, and it's worked with them. I'm not saying it's wrong, but, you know, I'm just explaining the reason why I advocate growth at this time.
All right. We buy that. Let's move on to...
Wait. I want one clarification. Okay. Now, with respect to insulin, you said you're not using them together, growth hormone and insulin. Is that correct?
No, it can be used together, but it has to be separated. Like, you have to use... Like, if you're using growth and insulin at the same time, usually insulin, you know, the safest way is to use it post-workout.
Right.
So, just to avoid the crash, you use growth post-workout first, wait for another 30 minutes, and then use insulin. Just to make sure that the growth... Because the growth hormone is actually, you know, stays in the system anywhere between 6 to 20 minutes, depending on the type of injection. So, after 20 to 30 minutes, you're not going to see any growth hormone in the system. It just hits the liver and just converts to all the growth factors.
Right.
So after 30 minutes of that, you take the insulin. Or what you can do is take insulin immediately post-workout and just use growth once before that time.
I would probably, personally, I used to recommend the insulin right after you train and then the growth in the morning. But yeah, that's okay. I mean,
I would agree with that.
Everyone has their own methodologies. And you know what? The truth is, it probably all works the same way. Let's talk about thyroid for a second, or Cytomel T3. A lot of guys like to use this, Ali, pre-contest. How do you recommend best using it, dosages, and for how long?
T3 is one of those hormones that, you know, a lot of people think that they're going to lose a lot of weight if they take T3, but T3 has to never exceed 100 micrograms.
I agree.
In any condition. You know, a lot of people go up to 200.
It's too high.
I have people going, like, T4 is way different. If you take T4 at 200, anywhere between 25% of T4 gets converted to T3 anyway, so 200 is like... it's like 50 micrograms of T3.
I think after a while, your body doesn't even convert to T4 anymore. It only converts what it wants. I think it's a... Wouldn't you agree that T4 is probably a very poor choice for pre-contest usage in terms of taking thyroid?
But a lot of pros use before.
Yeah, but for what reason?
You know why? Because what I just said. Because at the time of using growth hormone, your body doesn't produce enough TSH. So when you don't have TSH in your blood, your thighs are not going to produce T3. And that happens when you take growth hormone because of the somatostatin.
You know, I don't agree. You know what, Ali, when I used to get blood tested, my T3 and my thyroid stimulating hormone used to be high when I would take growth hormone. I don't think that's an absolute definite for every person. Some people do have some thyroid suppression. A lot of people have the opposite. Depends on your metabolism. I don't think there's a definitive yes or no on that.
No, the thing with growth hormone is growth hormone actually helps in converting T4 to T3. So it converts more of that. With growth, your conversion becomes better. But the problem is your TSH level goes down. When TSH level goes down, your body doesn't produce enough T3.
T4.
So it doesn't convert to T3.
So why not just take...
You get a lesser amount, and lesser amount gets converted. So that's what happens.
I don't... You know what? It might slow down T4 production a little bit, but I don't think it ever makes it too low to the point where you're going to notice a difference. Because like you said, your body will just convert more T4 to T3.
Yeah, but your body will convert more T4 to T3, but your natural production of T4 is going to go low.
I don't know. You know what? It might be dose dependent too, because like I said, maybe when these guys are taking very high amounts, you might see that more. I never saw it around 2 to 4. I use it.
They have high. A lot of pros have. I mean, top caliber pros. I don't want to mention names, but sure. They demand T4 in their cycle just because of that reason.
T4.
People would ask, like, well, why would they go for T4? Well, when T3 is more efficient in fat burning. They're not taking it for fat burning. They're taking it just for the sake to keep the levels stable.
Gotcha. Okay. Because the growth is what you're saying will convert more of that T4 to T3.
Yeah.
So okay. Why not just take T3?
Because what he's saying is that the conversion is there already. You need more precursor essentially, which is the T4.
But why? Why wouldn't you just take T3?
Because it's hard to dose to know how much you have.
They take T3 plus T4.
Oh, they take both.
The protocol, which is, you know, with the protocol, which is between all the athletes, there is two tabs of T3 and two tabs of T4. So they take one T3, one T4 in the morning, one T3, one T4 at night. T4 being at 100 microgram, T3 being at 25 microgram.
Personally, I never recommend anyone takes any thyroid off season, and I have to do blood work. I haven't really seen too many low thyroids. I don't think I've seen any, actually. But pre-contest, obviously, to me, T4 is kind of useless. At that point, you might as well just take the T3. But, you know, I understand the rationale, and I understand the science behind it. So, like I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat, John, always.
And, right, of course.
He's
but
right.
Even in the off-season, Dave, if you're on insulin, with insulin, you're going to require T3. Because, you know, insulin drops the thyroid production and the growth production. So, usually with insulin, you know, you're better off supplementing with thyroid hormones and growth hormones.
Actually, insulin is theoretically, or at least scientifically, is supposed to help conversion of T4 to T3. So, I don't know if I necessarily agree.
That's the growth. That's the other hormone. That goes back to that.
No, insulin does that, too. That's how when people ask why you have a cheat meal a week, and I know you give gear guys a carb up meal too once a week.
That's the reason to make the thyroid.
The reason is
you want to. They think it's like it's a treat.
Well, the reason is to stimulate thyroid hormone. I mean, insulin, excuse me, because and then the insulin will help T4 to T3 conversion. That's really how that whole cheat meal effect works. So I don't know. I never knew the growth hormone caused T4 to T3 conversion. I did know insulin did that. So maybe I'm learning something new. Let's talk.
Oh, growth does it.
Just I got to look it up. You might be right. I'm not putting any money on the line on this one, on this bet. I have to check it out. I from what I know, I thought it was insulin that does that. So I'll have to check it. We'll get back in touch with each other on that.
Check it and then let's put a post on our muscle.
All right, we'll do that.
Deal.
Now let's talk about diuretics. What kind of diuretics do you like to use, and how long do you usually use them prior to competition?
Okay, now the main three tests that usually, it's, you know, running bodybuilding, it's the loop diuretic, potassium sparing, and the thiazide like. Now, you want us to start with the loop, or?
Well, what do you use? Tell me what you use. I'll tell you what I use.
I use all three of them. Depends on the time. It depends on the availability. It depends on, like, let me just explain, like, how these work. Now, loop works in a way that actually takes out the main three electrolytes, which are sodium, potassium, and chloride. And with that, with the sodium, the water comes out.
Sure.
And that's the main target.
Right. That's your Lasix and your Demodex works by that method, too.
Exactly, yeah. Now, the potassium sparing is, this is a diuretic that actually causes something called potassium pump. Now, there are two types of potassium sparing. One is that inhibits aldosterone, and the other one is that creates the potassium pump, which replaces the sodium with potassium, so your body retains more potassium and takes out the sodium chloride, which the water is attached to it.
Do you use any of these?
Aldosterone, actually, me?
Yeah, do you like to use, well, the main one you're talking about is aldactone inhibits aldosterone production, obviously, and that helps,
yeah,
you know, knock out the sodium and water, and then obviously you have a surplus of potassium. The rap against that, at least in my mind, is that once you inhibit aldosterone, it's hard, if you excrete too much sodium, to get the sodium back into the body. And a lot of guys notice they go...
Well, not that much. I mean, it depends on when you're going to use it. Now, I usually, if I'm going to use potassium sparing, I usually use it like a couple of days before the show and combine that with a loop diuretic.
Right.
So I get enough time to put the sodium back. Because I usually do the sodium loading before the show. I mean, like the day of the show or the night of the show.
Well, why would you try to get rid of fluid 3 days before a show or 4 days before a show?
It depends. It's not always 3 days. Sometimes, you know, you're forced because the weigh-in is before that. It's 3 days before the show because you got the weigh-in, then you got the... This is what happens in most amateur shows.
Oh.
You got the weigh-in on the first day, then you got the pre-judging on the second day, and you got the finals on the third day. So you got to make weight on the first day.
Right. Why wouldn't you just use a loop diuretic or like a diazide diuretic at that point?
Well, sometimes it's not enough. I had a guy in the show that he weighed, I'll just talk in kilograms because it's hard to convert. He weighed 80.5, and I made him, you know, on the scale at 74 6.7, so that's like 6 kilos, which is like 12 pounds in one day. He lost 12 pounds in one day.
That's a lot of weight.
And he's a small guy. He's like 175 pounds, something like that.
Let's assume, though, we have a regular guy. Let's assume we have a guy who doesn't need to make weight necessarily, only needs to lose a couple of pounds. Well, what would be your ideal choice for a diuretic, and how would you use it?
Well, Loop is the most effective. I mean, Loop is, you know, you got to know which type you want to use and how long that diuretic stays in the system. That's very important. Now, a lot of people take diuretic and the effect stays even though they're on the stage. So it means they didn't make the max use of the diuretic. Now, some people take it a day before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, they look good enough, they can continue. But some people, when they take it a day before, even when they wake up in the morning, they're still not good enough. They still have some film of water on their skin. So they can pull more. But this has to be done very systematically. You don't just go and, you know, pop a pill and just wait. You know, the food has to be calculated. A lot of people think, like, you know, with Loops, a lot of people cramp.
Right.
And with the potassium sparing as well. Now, the problem is people always have the thinking, because that's what they get from the paramedics, that you're hypokalemia, which means, like, your potassium level is low. Now, that's never the case with a bodybuilder, because all the foods that they're taking in, they're rich in potassium.
I agree.
You got chicken, broccoli, potatoes. Like, potatoes are filled with potassium. So imagine at a time of carb loading, a guy thinks that the cramp that he's getting is because of lack of potassium. He goes low on potassium. So it's either because of hyperkalemia, which means, like, you're high in potassium.
Or low sodium.
That's like a low sodium, exactly. So you either replenish with sodium, which will help your, which will have the side effect even if you have a low potassium, or you gotta, you know, do a checkup or just calculate what you had and just, you know, with experience you can know that, you know, this is the amount of, like, the cramp that you're getting is because of the low level of
right.
potassium.
Well, John used to, well, John, what did you use back in the day, John, what did you used to use, injectable Lasix in your guys?
But I just, you know, I just prepped the top pro female bodybuilder for a competition. I use a sodium load,
right?
You know, the week before, sodium load, and then depletion. And if they need it, I'll do a Loop diuretic injectable Lasix, you know, the day of, morning of prejudging, if they need it. And it's a lot of times they don't need it.
Personally, I recommend diazide, because diazide is potassium sparing and it has a loop like effect. It's kind of a dual diuretic, and I think it's very reproducible. The results, there's no trickery, there's no guessing, and it's very reproducible. The results, and that seems to work, you know, ideally.
You know, with Loop, what happens with Loop is it takes out potassium as well. Even diazide, to a certain extent, it takes out potassium, but the new versions are supplemented with extra potassium.
No, well,
now,
but
it works,
but the diazide has triamterene in there, which is potassium sparing, so it's balanced. It's a dual diuretic, so whatever you lose from the Loop, you put back in.
Yeah.
A lot of times
you can replenish all of those. If you calculate it properly, you can replenish all of those and have no complications. Calculating the time of, you know, like you just mentioned Lasix. Do you know why Lasix was called Lasix?
Why?
Because it's a word. It's a combination of two words. Last six. This diuretic lasts for 6 hours.
Say that again, Ali.
It lasts for 6 hours.
Oh, it lasts for 6 hours? Okay.
Right.
Yeah, the diuretic effect of it lasts for 6 hours. So this is what a lot of people don't know. They think, like, if, like, they take a Lasix and they get cramps, like, for 2 hours, and then it goes away, and they think, okay, the diuretic effect of this is 2 hours. No. I mean, when Lasix was discovered, this name was given to it just because of that fact. And, like, bumetanide is another loop diuretic, which lasts for 3 hours. So it doesn't mean if you take any kind of loop, it's going to last for six. You got to study the diuretic before taking it. And, you know, people understand how they work. Like with potassium, with the blue diuretic, as I mentioned, you're going to lose these three major electrolytes. Yeah. And sometimes you get side effect of hypercalcemia, which is the calcium level goes down. But that side effect, and a lot of people just go and take calcium with the diuretic, just, you know, not to face that. But if you're hypercalcemia, you're going to get a pain in your jaw. And once you get that, that means your calcium level is low. Just by popping a calcium pill, you're going to fix the problem. But if you take, you're already, I mean, putting a lot of pressure on your kidney. Extra calcium is broken down by the kidney as well. So this is a mistake that a lot of people do. They just load calcium with the loop diuretic at the same time, just for the sake of, you know, not getting, you know, hypercalcemia.
Are you making this too complicated, though? I just think that the diazide is so easy. It doesn't. You don't lose any potassium. All you lose is sodium. If you do a little too much, you add a little sodium back. I mean, it's a very simple solution. I think once you start playing with the loop diuretics alone,
just that much of water, like loop.
Now, don't you think, though, Ali, is that sometimes, you know, people are relying too heavily on these diuretics when they really just haven't dieted enough?
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I mean, when that occurs, the thing is that, you know, this is a chemical substance that you're taking, so it's going to work regardless. So if you don't have, now a lot of people are actually water depleted, but because of the fat that he has, he thinks he still has water.
Right.
Now, this is the people who don't differentiate between water and fat. So what happens is, when you take any type of diuretic, your body has to take out water. Now, if you don't have water under your skin, the body is going to find water from anywhere and pull it out. And usually what happens is it pulls it out of the muscle.
Exactly.
When it pulls it out of the muscle, your muscle becomes flat because you store water in your muscle with the glycogen. So that comes out and goes under the skin. You look even worse after that.
Right. Yeah, that's not a good thing. Well, you know, we could probably talk about this, John, for another 2 hours. I think what we're going to do is let's end here, and we can go to a part two, maybe either next week or the week after, and we can talk about more about, you know, other stuff like what protein powders are best, what supplements are best, what kind of blood work you need to do as a bodybuilder. You know, we'll continue this conversation, and, you know, we'll hopefully be... we'll see what kind of feedback we get from our listeners out there, who I think will probably enjoy this.
They're going to like this
kind of fun debate we have here. But Ali, you know, you're always a pleasure to talk to, and I like to throw around a lot of scientific ideas with you, but we're going to get you back either next week or the week after. Is that good?
Sure, yeah.
All right. The one and only Ali Amini calling in from Bahrain, and thanks a lot. Or Abu Dhabi, sorry. Thanks a lot, Ali.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, John, you know, Ali Amini is always an entertaining guest. He's always got an opinion. He's a pretty smart guy. I respect a lot of what he says, but, you know, he's not afraid to debate us. And a lot, you know, I don't think there's many guys that would come on the show, you know, with you and me there and debate, you know, and throw scientific jargon at us.
That's true. And, you know, I also like the fact that he's not afraid to talk about anything. He talks about drugs, about diuretics, about, you know, what guys are taking, and, you know, and also it gives shed some light on some of the abuse issues that some of these guys are foisting upon themselves with the amounts that are doing. And you brought up a very good point about these odd side effects that we're seeing today that are probably by virtue of these crazy amounts that these guys are using.
I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that they're being induced by these hyper amounts of pharmaceuticals people are taking,
right?
Because we didn't see that back in the day. It just didn't happen. And you know what? I'd like to get blood pressure readings on a lot of these top guys that are doing that much stuff. Because you know what? And I'm guilty of this too. Denial is a great thing. When you're on a lot of drugs or when you're doing steroid cycles, you really don't want to know what your health is at that right. point, because you're not going to stop anyway. So a lot of guys don't go for health checkups, and what they'll do is when they come off a cycle after a show and they clean out for a few weeks, then they go and get tested, and then that's usually the case for most guys. And by then everything's out of their system, so a lot of times they're back to normal. But who knows what the last 8 months have been health wise in their body?
Right.
You know, high blood pressure is like shooting BBs at your kidneys. You know, it pops holes in them, and you know, I think, you know, I'm sure I damaged some of my kidneys, and I'm sure you did over the years too, just from, you know, having intermittent bouts of this high blood pressure.
But sure,
imagine what 5,000 milligrams of anabolics will do to you.
Unbelievable. And for prolonged periods, because now, you know, the mantra is, you know, more, if one is good, 10 is better. Yeah. So yeah. You know, the duration of these cycles, you know, back in the day they would just go on, you know, a cycle pre-contest, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Yeah. Now these guys are, you know, are oiled, you know, all year long.
Well, that's another thing. If you're going to do it 8 months out of the year, you know, you better pick compounds that are, number one, not toxic, and number two, you might not be doing massive amounts of this stuff. I could see, look, if you did a lot of massive amounts for 8 weeks, you probably wouldn't do any damage to your body. But these guys are, like you said, are doing it for 6, 8, 10, maybe not, never coming.
Right. I know guys, you know, that have stayed on for years and years.
Yeah. I have to admit, I never ever, I always took off periods because I just, I didn't feel right. My body just never felt right if I stayed on. In 1 year, I think I stayed on and I didn't go off. And that was the worst year I ever had. And I just didn't feel good. And I took a really extensive off period after that year. And my body responded again. So
yeah.
You might think that you're going to lose something, but you'll actually gain more by going off. You know, sometimes you got to take a couple steps back to take five steps forward. You know, but
by taking less.
Yeah, and by taking less, but also just getting everything out of your system. At least once a year for at least 2 to 3 months.
Absolutely,
well,
I agree.
I thought it was a good show. Arthur L. Ray is always entertaining, and Ali Amini was great today, and I'm looking forward to part two with him because I got some more difficult questions and more controversial questions to ask
him. I love those.
All right, for now, we're out of time. I'd like to thank our guests, Ali Amini and Arthur L. Ray, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.